talked about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. I'm about to seduce them with some sweet ass tunage.
Whoa, wait. Your music or my music?
What do you mean, my music?
Jamiroquai? Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
Those are good bands.
Train?
That's ironic.
Is it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Halloween is only a couple of days away, and I gotta confess, I don't like it. Folks sneaking around and grabbing candy when we got enough crime and diabetes out there as it is. At my house, we do the same thing every year. Turn off all the lights, leave a bucket of Steve Harvey brand pocket squares on the front porch, and then me and my wife go upstairs, drink Hennessy, and explore each other with Al Green's Let's Stay Together massage oil.
And now.
All right, enough chit-chat, everyone. Please get back to work.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody.
Can I try that again?
Yes, please.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 29th of October.
What's going on, party people? What's happening?
What's the haps?
You know.
What's the deal?
Just gorilla pimping like we do.
What's the latest? Hey, a few minutes ago we were listening to the story about the clowns down in Mexico.
Marching for peace.
Marching for peace when they're not assassinating drug dealers. Two more clown stories in the news this week. I thought this was interesting.
Clowns are coming on.
I wonder if it's because people are going to Halloween parties, and that's why there are more clowns on the street, perhaps. This one's in Battleground, Washington. Not sure where that is. Police responding to a disturbance call in Battleground found an unconscious man suffering from serious head injuries in a Taco Bell parking lot. 2 o'clock in the morning, a couple of mornings ago. They say that there was a guy and his girlfriend at the Taco Bell restaurant, and they started arguing with people in a blue pickup truck who were behind them in line at the drive-thru.
Sweet. Now,
do you think this was one of those deals where, like, they were taking too long, or they were asking too many questions, or, like, what kind of an argument could break out with two cars in a drive-thru at Taco Bell?
Like maybe they got their food and then they were going through the bags.
Yeah, I would guess they were just taking forever.
And then fell asleep, you know.
So they pulled through, and then the truck pulled through, and men got out and started exchanging words, and then the passenger in the blue truck got out, and he was in a full clown suit, and he hit the driver of the first car.
Yeah.
And the guy fell to the ground, hit his head on the concrete. The guys jumped in the truck and drove away. But they were able to find the guy. His name was Lance Cormacon. He's 24 years old. They found the clown suit right there at his. And I was just thinking, as embarrassing as it is to get clocked in a Taco Bell parking lot at 2 a.m., that's a terrible story to tell anyway.
Yeah.
It's by a clown. Yeah. You get decked by a clown.
Although, I don't know. That does spice up the story a bit.
It does. But isn't it a little bit more humiliating that you got taken out by a children's entertainer?
Well, probably, yeah.
I mean, clowns are tough guys, aren't they?
No,
badasses. So I think you get beat up by a clown, that's a bad thing. A Texas rodeo clown, also in the news. He was performing at an event that Ralph would have loved called Rednecks with Paychecks.
All right.
He's a 31-year-old named Casey Wagner. He was struck by lightning twice at the event.
What? At the same event?
Yes, almost at the same time. He spent Saturday night in the hospital, but he avoided grave injuries despite the almost supernatural attack at the annual off-road Rednecks with Paycheck events. It was like bam, bam, the 31-year-old Wagner told the Daily News on Monday. It was like two flashes right beside each other, like two shotguns going off. Apparently, a storm had rolled through. He went in search of cover, was standing under a tree when the lightning struck. Now, I thought that's where you were supposed to go, is under a tree, right?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
That makes sense.
That's what I thought, anyway, because you're standing near something that's higher than you, so it's more likely to get hit than you, is what I thought. It was like death, he said. It was the worst feeling I ever had in my life. He couldn't move or walk after the lightning strikes. He was treated at the scene, soon taken to a hospital. He says he's out of the hospital now. I'm still shaky. All of my muscles are completely sore. You know when your arm falls asleep? My whole body feels that way.
Oh, wow. How horrible.
I love that they took him to the hospital, and I assume he woke up in the hospital in a clown suit.
Too. Yeah, that's good.
Like, everything is just more surreal in a clown suit.
Room 2, we got a clown hit by lightning.
rednecks with paychecks.
Yeah, that did not off-road escape unnoticed.
Right on.
So maybe God weighs in on that event. Maybe that's what's going on here.
Need to change my costume to a clown. You can do everything.
Exactly. Sounds like it.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Are you hearing, as we're speaking, how incredibly lame you are?
We have Bruce Campbell on the program today.
Oh,
talking
he's
about
so good.
Kamikaze. He's so good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know him from Bird Notice. He's also been in a bunch of scary movies. Matt Money Smith will be here talking about the NBA season, which is finally here. Starts tonight. Lakers Clippers.
Wow.
The Lakers are already eliminated, right?
I believe that is incorrect, sir.
Okay.
I believe everyone is pretty much tied for first right now.
All right.
And last. Joel McHale will be here in the studio. He's got a spinoff of The Soup. You know, it's funny because he's been doing so much stuff on Community and different things. You know, I keep thinking he's going to move on from The Soup at some point. He's still good at it, but he still does it. And now they have a spinoff called Soup Investigates.
Oh, wow.
So we'll talk about that today. We have Brad Culpepper, who is a former NFL player and just got kicked off a Survivor in the strangest way.
Okay.
We have your tickets for Arcade Fire, which
that's
is going
right.
to be awesome. It's the secret show tonight. You get to see the band. We're going to give away some tickets coming up this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. We have the worst Halloween tweets. And if you missed it yesterday, late in the show, we were pretty much signing off. We were pretty much just saying goodbye, handing the radio station over to Kat, and Kanye West walked in. And that was a bit of a shock.
As you'll hear.
As you will hear, yeah. So we'll give you some highlights of that coming up in about a half hour. We'll take a break and come back. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
So yesterday, around 9:58, this is what happened.
My goodness. Kanye West just entered the studio.
Well, this stuff happens to us all
the time. We're so tired of superstars walking in the studio, interrupting our radio
busting
show.
Busting in.
Wow, my goodness.
Hey, Kanye.
What's up? How are you doing?
That
what a surprise that was, huh?
Indeed.
Highlights of that interview coming up right after the top of the hour if you missed it. He is, I think I said yesterday after we left, he's just a force of nature when he comes in. He just sucks up all the oxygen in the room, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sure does. Did you guys, like I did you guys think all day, I wish I'd said this, I wish I'd said that, I wish I'd said this?
It was crippling. All I could think was like, oh, how did I let him compare Kim Kardashian to Elizabeth Taylor and Marilyn Monroe?
But
and
it would have
not call him on
I
it.
Know, but at the same time, we didn't ask him in. He was just brought in.
Well, that was
an ambush. It was a complete ambush.
And
but we'll talk about it just after the top of the hour.
And, we were unprepared.
Yeah. We were unprepared, and when, I mean, regardless of what you may think of him, some people on the show are bigger fans of him than others, he's still a major star, and when someone like that walks in the room, it just knocks you back on your heels because it's completely out of context and you don't expect it, and it just throws you for a loop. And by the time I was able to register that he was here, he was gone.
He was gone,
right.
So it was just a frustrating experience for me.
So we all had a sucky day yesterday after the show.
Yeah,
that was
much.
Good. It was good. We loved it.
I appreciate the our own staff and the staff of the radio station stepping in and just blindsiding us like that and just setting us up to fail. So it really was really...
I liked it.
On everyone's part, I really appreciated it. It was great.
Well, at least the listeners piled on.
Yeah, well, that was cool.
Afterwards. At least we got a ton of grief from them as well. Come on, give us a do-over, Kanye. Come back today.
Man. Weird stuff.
Oh, well. Onward and upward. It's a new day and a new Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph.
It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores for your entertainment enjoyment. Starting with the CD I've most been looking forward to in a long time is Reflector by Arcade Fire is out today. You can pick that up. From that first song when they first teased that, I loved that. Looking forward to picking up the new CD today. Recharged by Linkin Park, the Remix album. You can get that. I hope they rhyme King and Thing a lot. Wrapped in Red by Kelly Clarkson. That's her new Christmas album. Have it.
It just came out and he had it 2 weeks ago.
I got an early advance on the download, so I do have it digitally. But I'll still go out and buy the CD today.
Sure.
I want to own that.
Right.
I want to hold that.
Sure.
Sure you do. The most important thing in terms of Christmas albums is finally out today. Duck the Halls.
Duck the Halls.
A Robertson Family Christmas by the Robertsons, who, of course, are the family that stars in Duck Dynasty.
How do you buzz that? That's the only one I'm interested in.
Duck the Halls.
Got no time for Duck Dynasty.
Come on! Duck the Halls!
Nope. I'm so excited. I didn't know today was going to be such a good day.
I will, I'll be playing some clips from Duck the Halls in about an hour. DVDs? Monsters University, starring Billy Crystal and John Goodman and Steve Buscemi and Helen Mirren, the popular follow-up, of course, to Monsters, Inc. Prequel, I guess that is. And then R.I.P.D. with Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds. I'm tempted to watch this just to see if I can see if it's truly as horrible as I heard and expected to be.
It is.
Oh, you saw it? Why would you see that? In a theater?
Yeah. You know, I like to go to movies.
You're damaged. And speaking of which, Damages, the complete series, comes out on box set on DVD as well today.
So. Does Kevin every weekend go, all right, what's the worst thing in theaters? What's the movie that's being just pilloried?
No, I inflict that on myself.
No, I think, what am I most interested in seeing? And then I come in on Monday and I realize it was the worst thing for the weekend when
but
you guys pointed
it out.
You
had to know R.I.P.D.
Yeah, that was a shaky one going in.
Right.
Of course, yeah.
Well, why do that then?
Well, I don't know. There's, you know, every weekend is different.
Was it Bizarro Day? Was it one of your Bizarro weekends where you have to walk backwards and put your pants on backwards? And
backwards
do weird
weekend,
sorry,
Ralph.
Backwards weekend.
Kevin, you have to go see The Counselor and see if it's really the worst mainstream movie ever made, too, as it's being called by many.
And then I saw a review yesterday that said it's the best film Ridley Scott's ever made.
I saw The Counselor, too.
What the
you
what?
You saw The Counselor?
Yeah, I saw it. My wife wanted to see it on Friday, so I was like, all right, let's go.
Is it true that it makes no goddamn sense?
None? It makes sense, but to me, it was just dreary. It was such a downer that just starts on a downhill and just picks up speed.
Loses ground.
And at the end of the movie, they're still going 100 miles an hour downhill.
Wow.
And you just go, this was depressing.
It's long, too, right?
It's long, too, yeah.
That's what I heard, yeah.
But don't see it at night. You need to come out and you need to get the sunlight.
It's a matinee movie,
yeah,
right? Someplace you can go get a cold beer afterwards.
I thought it was well done, but what do I know? But it is a bummer.
Well, there you go. You know what else is a bummer? Snooki. She got booted from Dancing with the Stars last night. Yeah.
That show is still on?
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, it's still on, but there's still like a dozen people competing. I don't know how they get rid of people on the show, but it takes way too long.
Did you guys see the, what does the Fox say? Somebody danced to that?
No.
Yeah, they danced to it.
No, that's kind of clever.
I just tweeted that out, yeah.
Amber Riley, Corbin Blue, Elizabeth Berkley, Brant Daugherty, Jack Osborne, Snooki, Leah Remini, and Bill Engvall were all still in the competition last night.
I'm with Ralph. It seems like this particular group of people started dancing last basketball season.
Yeah,
and
now like 6 months ago that show
get rid
started.
Of a person every month. Once a month someone goes home.
Man.
It was down to Bill Engvall and Snooki, apparently. They were the bottom two, and then Snooki got bounced. So, sadly, Snooki will no longer be dancing on your TVs.
I'm a whore. Hello?
Hello? I think Snooki's just like Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor.
That's true. She should get a star
in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Today's celebrity birthdays. Good batch. Chris Bale from Vampire Weekend's 29 years old today. Ben Foster celebrates his 33rd. Gabrielle Union turns 40. Actress Winona Ryder is 42. I can never help but think, when I hear her name about Johnny Depp when they were in a relationship together and he got her name tattooed on his arm, Winona Forever.
Right.
And they broke up. And he said, what have I done? And he had to get it altered to turn it into Wino Forever. That was just like a hardcore alcoholic. Dan Castellaneta. Homer Simpson, of course, for these many years. He is 56 years old. And actor Richard Dreyfuss celebrates 66 today.
Oh, we got to hear some of Mugg's interview with Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh,
later, don't
yes!
We?
Yes, we do.
One of the all-time best.
I saw Mr. Holland's opus. That's fascinating.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Producer Dave is here. Dave, we all have a weird job, but yesterday you had a really weird job. Tell me how it unfolded on your side of the door before you and Mr. Kanye West walked through at the end of the show.
Well, he was here to do another interview with our sister station, Amp Radio. And, you know, Mr. Bossman, Mr. Weatherly, shows up at our office and says, with Kanye West, he's like, hey, it's Kanye. Do you want him? And
now this was as Ralph was
doing showbiz birthdays.
He's like wrapping up the showbiz. I'm ready to sell the show tomorrow, yeah. And we're just ready to, you know, head on with our day.
Yeah.
And in walks Dave. I was like, yeah. Dave, we're on the air. What are you doing?
And Kanye is just sitting, you know, standing in the hallway going, hi, you know, like, he's like, hey.
And so you just stood up and walked him right in. So 30 seconds after you met Kanye, he was in our studio.
Exactly. I said, sure, let's do this. Now, how do you turn down Kanye, an interview with Kanye West?
So Kanye West walks in, and a lot of people have been critical of us because we talk a lot of crap about Kanye and about Kim Kardashian.
More about his wife, even, really.
Right. Girlfriend, so, yeah. But I would just like to say this in our defense. Some of it is warranted, but when you're surprised like that, we had no idea. If we'd known that it was going to be him, we all would have asked different questions.
Yeah.
But
totally.
My first thought when he walked through the door was, how much does he know about what we talk about Kim? You know what I mean? Like,
I was ready to throw Lisa under the bus. If that came up, I was just going to say
good.
It was all Lisa.
It was all
that
me?
Was,
me too.
That was going to be my plan.
Yeah.
But the other thing is this. And look, I accept any scorn that people have. The other thing is this. Genuinely, yesterday anyway, he was in a great mood. He seemed like such a nice guy. He just seemed happy to be here. And that's not what automatically puts you on the offense. You know what I mean? You want to get along with a guy like that who seems like he's fun and having a good time. And I think that was part of what was happening.
And the fact that he agreed to just come in for really no reason.
But all of us yesterday throughout the day, it was true of you too, Bean, right? We were like,
absolutely.
Boy, would we like a do-over on that one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the other thing, just before we play the highlights, is we don't have people in just to bash them. Like, right. If we really, really hate somebody, we won't invite them on the show. It's just that's not us.
And by the way, I don't think we hate Kanye
we
either.
Don't.
Kevin and I are both huge fans. Yeah. I know Dave is too. But I mean, he is a. There's no question he's a blowhard, and he could be taken down a few pegs.
He's a little crazy. Yeah.
He crazy.
He definitely crazy. But I'm a huge, huge fan of his.
Did I pull off crazy?
Yeah, you did.
All right.
But here's a little bit of how it did happen, and you can make up your own mind. When Kanye West surprised us on the Kevin and Bean Show late yesterday.
If candy corn is not at the top of this list as the worst, then this is a bogus list.
First of all, candy corn is awesome. Second of all, we are into that time of year where we have to start worrying about what we might get for trick-or-treats this week.
Halloween, Halloween, do Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Yeah, all right.
Ooh,
yeah, we get it.
Right. A little bit more.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
Yeah.
Behind the tree.
No, no.
I wish that the children could see.
No,
but I can't find
no,
them for the
no,
me.
No,
yes,
no,
spooks.
No.
Outside
hell
my
no, no.
So
no.
The Huffington Post asked it.
No, no.
All right, thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Tracy. The Huffington Post had a survey recently where they asked readers to write in about what the least desired Halloween candies are when you go trick or treating. Now, they're taking out of consideration the absolute worst, which is stuff that's not food. People who give out pencils, coins, toothbrushes, religious pamphlets. There are lots of things that some people give out.
People give out religious pamphlets?
That's just the worst.
Are you kidding?
They certainly do.
Wow.
Also, things that aren't actual regular store-bought wrapped candy are very low on the list. These are things like apples. These are actual food, but they're stuff that nobody wants. Apples, raisins, popcorn balls, baked goods, homemade treats. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? So let's just limit it to the top seven that came back as the worst Halloween candy. And I'd be curious to see if you guys agree. Kevin may be the only one who's really still going out trick-or-treating among us.
How dare you?
Kevin's going to put on a mask and pretend he's a teenager and go out door-to-door just so he can get some candy. But here's what you don't want, Kevin, according to the readers of Huffington Post. Number seven, Whoppers.
Whoppers are acceptable, but not...
These are the malted milk balls.
Oh.
My sense about
those
Whoppers
weak,
is,
but okay.
Is you'll eat them if there's nothing else around.
Yes.
They at least have chocolate in them, but they're kind of dry. They're kind of crumbly. They're nothing that anybody gets excited about.
If it's between that and candy corn, though, I love them.
I don't know what you're talking about. Number six on the list, foods you don't want to get for trick-or-treating. Smarties.
I love Smarties.
The biggest complaint overall is their gross, chalky texture. People apparently think they're... Way, way, way too sweet and sour. So Smarties came in at number six.
I don't like anything with the word smart in it. Makes me feel bad.
Now, number five surprised me because I dig Good and Plenty, but apparently a lot of people do not. That's the licorice candy?
Yeah,
that's
I like
the
Good
pink
and
white?
Too.
Yeah,
Good
that's, and that's pretty low on my list as well.
That is the oldest branded candy in America, by the way. It's been around since 1893, in case you were curious.
We were not.
Number four, another surprise to me, Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Who are these communists?
Good question.
Doing this list.
These people say you can blame the wax-like consistency once again, and the hard chew. Apparently, people think they're too difficult. Not worth the effort.
Tootsie Rolls are good.
I'm going to posit a theory.
All right.
At this moment, and I think that people get old candy at Halloween.
Oh, that could be because Tootsie Rolls then would be hard.
They're hard.
That's
and
true.
Good and Plenty isn't good, and Whoppers are stale.
That's true. That has a lot to do with it. Yeah. Maybe they were left over from last Halloween, and you're still giving them out.
Exactly.
And by the way, Lisa. And number three plays completely into your theory, which is Bit O' Honey.
Yes.
What about Bit O' Honey, the honey-flavored taffy that has the nuts in it or something
that's
like that?
Sort that's sort of nonsense.
I like that, too, but when they're old, you break a tooth.
Yes, you can absolutely break a tooth. That is a tough, tough candy. They've been around since 1924, by the way. I'm not familiar with number two. Apparently, it comes in orange and black wrappers. It's a peanut butter molasses-flavored candy called Mary Jane's. You guys familiar with Mary Jane's?
Yeah, but I smoke it.
is this old people candy or something?
I don't know what that is.
I'm not familiar with that either.
And number one, of course, is candy
It's
corn.
It's made by Necco, by the way, the same people who make the Necco wafers, but I'm not familiar with the Mary Jane's. And the number one Halloween candy that Huffington Post readers say
it's candy
they
corn.
Do not
that
want to receive when they trick-or-treat on Thursday night in your neighborhood is...
It's candy corn.
It actually is candy corn. It is candy corn.
How does
actually.
That make you feel, Mr.
Well,
B?
Well, because candy corn is the best Halloween candy, first of all.
If you like it, you're wrong.
I love it.
Second
I
of all,
love
there's
it.
No way you
it's
love
like
it
eating
more
sugar.
Than everything else.
It is my
I
favorite
like candy
It's
candy.
Not your favorite. That's
it's
a
my favorite.
Lie, sir.
It's
but
my
it's not
favorite.
Your
lying.
And I have to be honest, though, my favorite is the chocolate candy corn, the variation that has the chocolate on the one end. But here's what people said who wrote in nominating candy corn as the least popular Halloween candy. Who the heck wants candy modeled after a vegetable, one reader says. Uh-huh. Another, I'd rather eat a crayon. And a third, I can't understand why it even exists.
That's right. Candy corn blows.
So apparently a lot of people agree with Kevin.
More for us.
All right. Let's switch gears right now and open up those telephone lines at 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now if you want to play a game and try to win. We got two pairs of tickets to give away. And this is your last chance to win them for Arcade Fire tonight. Super secret location. Yeah, you can still register to win your tickets at krock.com, but the only way to win them from us on the radio is to call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win next on KROQ. So, Kanye, you've been hanging out with Jesus lately. How's that going?
Great. Great. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Hey, Arcade Fire, you guys, right?
Right. What you just said.
They have a new album, a long-awaited new album coming out today called Reflector, available right now for download. And they're going to be doing a super secret show in the Southern California area. We cannot say where, but we can say you can win your tickets at 1-800-520-1067 if, because the band is from Canada, you are able to name that Canadian. I don't think Omar put too fine a point on it. A lot of pressure for Arcade Fire. Their last album sold a couple of million copies and won the Album of the Year Grammy. So I'm very excited to hear what this new one's all about. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
Our first contestant is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, party people, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Now, Mike, we're going to ask you a question to name that Canadian celebrity, and then you'll go into a drawing if you get it right. Only two people that we talk to can win tickets for the super secret Arcade Fire show tonight. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Born in London, Ontario, this movie-making heartthrob known for films like The Notebook and Drive started his career as a cast member on the Mickey Mouse Club, where he probably took the virginity of both Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. Name that Canadian.
Ryan Gosling?
Yes!
Nicely done.
All right, you're in the drawing, sir. Well done.
Hold on. Next contestant is Steven. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Born in Burnaby, British Columbia, this suit and tie wearing singer is called this generation's Frank Sinatra. He scored 4 number one albums in a row here in the U.S. and has dated lots of actresses, including 3 years with Emily Blunt. Name that Canadian.
Emily Blunt. I couldn't tell you, dude.
We're looking for Michael Bublé.
Yeah, I didn't know.
All right, Steven.
It's okay, Steven.
Thanks for playing.
Let's go to Colby.
Yes.
Hi there. Welcome to the game.
All right, Colby, get set to name that Canadian. Born in Brampton, Ontario, this star of films like Juno, Scott Pilgrim, and Superbad is actually 25 years old but looks 15 and might always look 15. Name that Canadian.
Michael Cera?
I'm going to give it to you. It is Michael Cera. Well done, sir.
Wow, you're being kind. All right.
He kind of had. I mean, he knew, right? He just didn't know how to pronounce it.
Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
All right, Matt, name that Canadian. Ooh, we have an audio clue this time. Born in Kapuskaking, Ontario, this multiple Academy Award-winning screenwriter and director brought us Avatar, Titanic, and this movie that Kevin once asked a penetrating question about.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Name that Canadian.
Jeez, James Cameron.
Yes!
Yes!
Wow. Why do you say jeez if you know it?
Well, because that's a ridiculous question.
It is a ridiculous question, but you got it right. Thank you.
How many in the drawing so far, you guys?
Three.
Three
so far? Sweet. Okay, let's keep going.
All right, we have Adrian. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
All right, Adrian, born in Edmonton, Alberta, this actor does it all. He was a spaceship captain on TV's Firefly. He's a mystery novelist on TV's Castle, and he's the voice of Sergeant Buck in the Halo video games. Plus, the ladies think he's dreamy. Name that Canadian.
Oh, man, the hardest one, huh? No idea.
We were looking for Nathan Fillion this time around, our old friend Nathan Fillion. Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Steve. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Steve.
Steve, how you been doing so far listening to the game on hold?
Horrible.
All right.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Did we mention that Arcade Fire is from Canada, so we're asking you to name that Canadian to win tickets?
I'm relatively sure that that point has been covered.
Born in London, Ontario, this singer is famous for never wearing a shirt, for driving 100 miles an hour around his neighborhood, and for spitting on his fans. But somehow he still manages to have 46 million Twitter followers. Name that celebrity.
Justin Bieber.
That is
well
correct.
Done, sir.
Well done.
By the way, 46 million people are listening to what Justin Bieber is tweeting. What's up with that?
Well, they like those shirtless pics.
Mm-hmm.
Javier, hi.
Hey, party people. What's up, Lisa May?
Hey, Javier.
Javier, I think this is going to be, we may have time to squeeze in two more. Born in Ottawa, this actress has been nominated for 5 Primetime Emmy Awards for her role as Dr. Yang on Grey's Anatomy. But she's most often talked about on our show for looking like she's been hit in the face with a frying pan. Name that Canadian celebrity.
Sandra Oh.
Look at you.
Nicely done.
Look at you. All right, one more.
I didn't know half these people were from Canada.
I didn't either.
Max, hi.
What's going on, guys?
All right, Max, you're our final contestant to get into the drawing for Arcade Fire tickets. This one also has an audio clue. Born in Sudbury, Ontario, for the last 30 years, this man, sometimes with his famous mustache, sometimes without, has hosted the TV game show Jeopardy. Listen up.
Ralph Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt,
what is the Joe Schmo show?
Name that Canadian celebrity.
Who is Alex Trebek?
Absolutely. You are correct. All right. So Mike and Colby and Matt and Steve, Javier, a lot of people in the drawing. Only 2 can win. Lisa May, who's going to see Arcade Fire?
All right.
Tonight?
Our first winner is Colby.
All right. Hold on. Yay! Let me go to Colby. Congratulations, Colby.
All right.
Enjoy the show.
And our second winner is Max.
Yay! Max, the very last person we talked to. Max, congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for playing the game. What's that on the boat, eh? 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Our friend Joel McHale joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show from The Soup. And Ralph, do you still have your didgeridoo in the office? You may want to pull it out because we're going to be talking Survivor right after the top of the hour, too.
Jeez. What could have happened to the didgeridoo?
I don't know. I don't think I've had that for about 10 years.
Okay. Really? You used to bring it in every once in a while when we talk Survivor and play it on the show.
Second season of Survivor, I used to bring it in. Now, as we enter the 22nd season of Survivor.
You don't still have it?
I'm not still carrying around a didgeridoo.
Huh. Go dig it up, because Brad Culpepper, recently booted Survivor contestant, joins us right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph.
With all the hype surrounding Captain Phillips in theaters and last week's news of a pirate attack off the coast of Africa, there's a newfound pop culture interest in pirates and defenses against said pirates. Enter the Merchant Navy, who swear that the musical stylings of Britney Spears can save them from Somali pirates.
What?
Yes. The the defense for the Merchant Navy says, "Baby One More Time," "Oops, I Did It Again," are the most effective songs in the war against bandits. If they blast them over the loudspeakers, pirates move on as quickly as they can, they claim.
Pirates just can't take that?
No, they can't. Frankly, neither can I. You want to send them away? You should play that track that's floating around the internet now of Britney singing live. Have you heard that?
Oh, I haven't. No,
there's a video online that someone has isolated her microphone track.
I love those.
From a live performance in Las Vegas, where they strip away all the backing tracks and all the instrumental. You just hear what she's singing.
Yes.
Now, she's lip syncing, in essence, to her track, but she actually is singing into the microphone live, because she does talk into it and say,
right,
how's everybody doing tonight, and that kind of thing. And so if you listen to that, you'll say, it's good that she lip syncs. She should never really sing live. That's what they should play for the pirates.
Please have Omar pull that for the kids for later on today, because they do need to hear what she's doing up there.
It's kind of magical. New stuff in stores today. It is Tuesday, new release day. Monsters University comes out on DVD today with Billy Crystal and John Goodman. R.I.P.D. with Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds. On TV, Damages, the complete series, is finally in a box set if you want to catch up on every episode of that show. CDs today, new, of course, from Arcade Fire's Reflector, Recharged by Linkin Park. That's their remix album. Wrapped in Red by Kelly Clarkson is the Christmas album. But speaking of Christmas albums, the one we're most excited about has to be Duck the Halls.
Yes.
A Robertson Family Christmas by the Robertsons. The Robertsons, of course, the family from Duck Dynasty. Their new Christmas CD, Duck the Halls, is now in stores.
I have a feature side.
And being the man who loves all Christmas music ever, of all time,
he buys
always,
total crap because it's Christmas themed.
Says he doesn't. He's not interested in Duck
not
the
interested.
Halls.
That's not interesting.
Well, I think you just haven't heard me. I think I'm going to sway you when I play you a couple tracks from the new Duck the Halls Christmas album from the Duck Dynasty family. Here's one track called Ragin' Cajun Redneck Christmas.
Yes, a Ragin' Cajun Redneck Christmas. Dancing Santa out in the yard. Joy to the world. Road on the roof. We ain't got much, but we work real hard.
Yeah!
Wait, is that them singing?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Maybe it's just Robertson-approved music.
Yeah.
Because I doubt that sounds too good for them.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
How about the Night Before Christmas from the Robertsons?
Please.
Now, the night before Christmas, I was sitting in my house, a three-hour nap, when all of a sudden I heard a big crash. I figured it was some coon digging in the trash. I went to the window and slipped on my shoes, because I don't like critters snooping around in my refuge.
Yep.
That exists.
That's a thing.
Who's going to buy this
Me?
And then listen to it?
Kevin. Kevin is going to get us back from all those Halloween spooks by playing nothing but Robertson Duck the Halls for the rest of the remaining holiday
season. And you're
season.
All getting it for Christmas, so don't buy it.
And, of course, the titular track from Duck the Halls, a Robertson Family Christmas. Here is Duck the Halls.
Duck the Halls with bells of holly.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
This is real.
Donning now our gay apparel. Toll the ancient Yuletide carol.
Somewhere Rick Dees is so jealous right now. He never got out his Christmas duck song.
That is terrible and awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Baio from Vampire Weekend is 29 years old today. Actor Ben Foster turns 33. Gabrielle Union is 40. Winona Ryder is 42 years old. Dan Castellaneta, the voice of Homer Simpson and many other characters, including Krusty the Clown on The Simpsons, he is 56 years old. And actor Richard Dreyfuss, legendary Oscar-winning actor Richard Dreyfuss, one of my personal favorites. I've always loved him ever since
back in the days of American Graffiti all the way through Jaws, which made him a superstar. 66 years old today. I was so jealous when Biermug got a chance to sit down and interview Richard Dreyfuss because, well, Biermug asked him the pertinent questions.
Now, Richard, before we continue with Coma, I just want to just go off on a little side tangent here. My 7th grade music teacher, speaking of class of 66, was so gracious that she took us to see Mr. Holland's Opus. And that honestly, I'm not blowing smoke here, but that changed my outlook on music at such a young age in 7th grade. So I just want to say kudos for that movie. That was awesome. And the other day, I know I'm reaching way back here.
Wait,
I saw Stakeout on Cinemax.
Where's the interviewee?
You are funny. You are a funny, funny man.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Dreyfuss. didn't speak at that time.
We didn't have a chance to hear any response from Biermug recounting tales from his 7th grade music class.
We heard a lot about how much Biermug likes Richard Dreyfuss, though.
And we got to hear what he did in 7th grade. Which, when you're confronted with Richard Dreyfuss, those are the kind of things you want to focus on, your own personal experience in middle school. Because there's nothing really to ask him. He doesn't have much of a career.
I'm going to let you talk in a minute, but first.
But first, here's what happened to me in 7th grade. You know what I had for lunch that day we went to see Mr. Holland's Opus? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know who you guys think the most interesting man in the world is, but it might be our next guest, Brad Culpepper. Imagine playing in the NFL for what? How many years, Ralph? Was it like 11 years or something like that the dude played? Then going on and becoming a very successful attorney, and then being contested on Survivor. That's a lot of living. That's a lot of living for Brad Culpepper, who can no longer be seen on Survivor Wednesday nights on CBS because he got voted out. What happened? Brad, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Well, listen, I'm not technically, but I'm still there. Monica, my wife, is still on the show and thriving. So as long as she's on board, I'm there too.
First of all, Brad, good job with that Monica. She's pretty hot. Well done, sir.
She's the best move I've made in my whole career. Make no mistake.
And then, secondly, tell us about that challenge there on Redemption Island. You and John going at it neck and neck. Laura M. had already sealed up first place. The pressure when you're doing those puzzles and you're going up and down on that balance beam just must be enormous. I mean, you're used to pressure from the NFL, but it's got to be a different kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't really worry about the pressure. I mean, NFL absolutely is pressure-filled. When you got 20 million people watching you play and everybody deciding whether you're good or not, that's rough, and that's your livelihood. Playing Survivor to me was just a game. Unfortunately, the challenges on Redemption Island are more like parlor hall games, and that was a balance beam. I mean, I'm 44, my knees feel like 60.
Right.
And so having to bend over and keep my balance, and then, you know, she's like a little wood nymph. I mean, she's 4 foot nothing and didn't even have to bend her knees. She did all this. And so John and I are both over 6'2", and he's 33. He's got some years on me. I've definitely got more mileage than him. But so we battled that. And it wasn't a puzzle. It was basically just hunt and peck, putting from 0 to 1 to 100 in numerical order. That I wish it would have been more of a logical type puzzle that we could maybe have caught up with her. But no, the way it was, and did my best, but more importantly, I didn't jeopardize my wife's position, and she's in a strong spot right now.
When Monica was on the show and you were just at home watching it, did you think at that time, man, I really want to be on it, or did she have to talk you into going back and being on this edition of Survivor?
No, it was the opposite. She didn't want to play anymore. In fact, she didn't want to play the first time. They called me about it, and then they Googled me, saw a picture of her, and said, hey, we don't want you, we want her. And so I had to talk her into the first one. And then she got blindsided pretty early, didn't have that great of experience with it. And then they called again, and I'm like, let's go back, you and I. And she's like, no way, I'm not doing that. So I talked her into it again, and hopefully it works out good for her. It didn't work out as good for me, but again, I was really happy. My whole goal was to get her a chance to play, and ultimately that was my undoing. I went against my own alliance in my tribe for to protect her,
right?
But I gladly give up my spot for her, and so far it's working out.
And you guys thought you'd be playing together when you came onto the show, right? That was initially sort of the draw.
I mean, you never know with Survivor, so
right.
You know,
you thought
they always throw curves at you, but I would have much rather been with her and had an alliance with her on the same tribe.
Sure.
It was tough on me having to compete against somebody who I love more than I love myself. It was a little bit different. If I played against my brother, I want to play with him, but, I'm going to still compete him. But
right.
Playing against my wife of 22 years, it's like, I do not want to take anything away from her.
So basically, you just gave yourself up. You fell on your own sword.
No. I didn't give myself up. I tried as hard as I could. In fact, even though we lost all the challenges, my portion of every challenge, we won. I did struggle with voting people off because, everyone's loved one's on the other side, and for whatever reason, Tyson's over there. When his girlfriend got voted off, he said, "Hey, Mr. Football Guy," and I said, "What do you want, Mr. Bicycle Repair Man?" So they were all blaming me. They were all blaming me, even though I wasn't actually my call to vote her off, and so that was not helping Monica. So the next time we lost again, I wanted to vote off people who were not connected to her tribe, and that was John, who was one of my main allies. But again, it didn't injure Monica voting him off. Now I made John's blonde wife, quite the bitter Betty on Redemption Island.
Sure,
and
here's
her
was.
Screaming. But I didn't even know her. I mean, it's like she's yelling all this stuff. And it was worse there than it actually showed on TV.
Really?
They were saying I said the C word to my wife. They say I'm a lawyer, therefore I'm a liar. And I mean, it was real personal. And then when I went down there, I called everybody out and said, "What do you think of me?" And they were all glowing. And that's when I said to her, they kind of show it on CBS, and I said, "That's what he said, she said, that's what your own husband said." And then she got admonished pretty well by Monica. She was ripping her, and I said, "I had to call Monica off and say, look, it's all right. We've already hugged it out. It's okay." But she was acting a bit like a fifth grader,
Well, that was
this, and she said that.
That was a Survivor first. I don't remember ever seeing another contestant just screaming obscenities at another contestant before a challenge. That was exciting.
Well, it was after the challenge, and that's what they did with this. You got loved ones on there, and the loved ones had no idea who was voted out. So when they would come to Redemption Island, usually in Survivor, you get voted out and your dirty laundry goes with you. This time, they would purposely bring you back so that then you're able to yell at whomever. And majority of the yelling was lies. I mean, how do you defend yourself? Fifth grade, a kindergartner says, "I can beat you up." It's like, no, you can't. Well, what are you talking about? So it's the same kind of thing, Well, you said that you told Marissa she couldn't fish. I'm like, oh, yeah? Well, nobody fished because she didn't have fire, right? She wants to eat sushi. She can fish all she wants, but nobody told her what to do and what not to do.
How dare you?
Not to make fire.
How dare you suggest somebody can't fish?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the voice of...
If I was a tyrant, they would have voted me off. There was not a single time anybody planned to vote me off. The little boy, the little funny-looking boots guy, got scared at the 11th hour and ended up rallying to vote me out. But there was no big plan. If I was an ogre and some overbearing guy, they would have been like, "Let's get rid of this guy." But that wasn't the case.
I love hearing the behind-the-scenes stuff on a show like Survivor, too, because they are able to show so little of what actually goes on throughout the week. This is the voice of Brad Culpepper here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He was the most recent voted off on Survivor, Blood versus Water. Let me ask you this one more thing, Brad, and that is it an advantage or a disadvantage to show up as a contestant on Survivor as a well-known person? Are people out to get you because you're a celebrity, or do people kind of want to be friends with you because you're famous?
With my group, it was the latter of what you're asking. I had some guys, big sports fans, even Vitas out in L.A., he's got kind of a rough life. He's a huge basketball fan. So it was the five guys that were together, we were like a locker room, and they kept asking me NFL questions. And at first I was skeptical, saying, "You guys are just trying to ride me and trying to do something." They're like, "No, we want to hear. And so every night, every day, we were belly laughing, and just jokes, and it was like a locker room. It was tremendous. So I got along with the guys extremely well. The girls kind of just endured it. They probably didn't like it as much, but for the majority of my tribe, we had so much fun laughing and catching fish and having a good time. And you're right, they only show a small portion. It's just a thumbnail of the, 3 days go into 42 minutes. So they drop a ton of film.
Of course, yeah.
All right, Brad, we know you got to go, but we're all rooting for Monica.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. No. As long as she's there, I'm there, and she's a rock star.
I'm rooting for Jervis because he's wearing a Philadelphia Eagles shirt, and that's my team.
Ooh, Eagles.
Thanks, Brad. Survivor, Blood versus Water, tomorrow night at 8 on CBS. We appreciate the time, sir.
You got it.
Yeah! That's hot!
So, Kanye, you've been hanging out with Jesus lately. How's that going?
Great.
Yesterday it was Kanye. Today it's Joel McHale.
Oh, I'm a god. Yes, I'm also a god.
Step up, I guess.
I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't realize you were a god as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a god.
All right. Joel McHale.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very happy about the Seahawks last night.
I know you're up there. Look, I almost had a heart attack in that last 2 minutes of the game, but it was a sucky performance by the Seahawks.
As long as we get the W.
I know, and that's what Russell said after the game is, look, at the end of the season, nobody's going to remember how you won. They're just going to see how many games you won, but it was still a terrible performance, especially on Monday Night Football. You want your team to look good, Joel, right?
Okay. We got the win. Just relax. You sound like a person who lives in Seattle. Doesn't matter what they say. Something has to be depressing about it. You want to start talking about the Sonics now and how they're going to do this season?
Go Oklahoma City.
Yay.
Hey, Joel.
Yes.
How are you, buddy?
We
haven't seen you in a while.
It's great to see you again. Oh, that's right. You're not here.
I used to worry that Joel was one of our guests, Kevin, that was going to get really, really famous and then wouldn't do our show anymore. But
Right. Thank
God that hasn't happened because now he still comes in.
I still need you.
Now, wait. Is he famous enough to not, though?
No, he still needs us.
McHale still needs us.
But Kanye West does not need you.
That's correct.
How did you get him?
He was in the hallway going to our sister station.
Jack?
Amp.
Yeah.
No, Jack, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know Seacrest was in this building, too.
It's not Seacrest.
It's Carson Daly.
Oh. So anyway, he stopped.
That's great.
And it was odd.
I loved that interview.
He just walked in the wrong door.
That interview he did that Kimmel kept making fun of.
Where
he
was, yes.
It wasn't even the part that Kimmel made fun of, but the part where he was like, look, when I say in a song that I am a god, what I mean is that I am a god.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, so it's just crazier.
And by the way, sitting across from him yesterday, I was looking. That boy's got crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Like when he's saying that stuff, you look at him like you're in a trance. Okay, you're the best ever.
The music is, the album's really good, though.
He's a great artist, Joel, but you're scraping a scab here because we're a little bit depressed because we were not at all prepared for Kanye yesterday. He just showed up, I mean, literally walked in and was on the air, and we were kind of blindsided a little bit, and all day long yesterday, all we kept doing is beating ourselves up for the things we didn't ask him because we didn't have any time to put a question. You don't walk around.
How do you not know every detail of his life?
We
all
do,
the
but
time.
It was a shock to be sitting across from him in 1 second, and you go,
"You don't walk around with a briefcase full of Kanye West questions in case you're needed."
Yeah,
you know?
I work at E.
Joel, would you mind if we just ask Kanye questions that we didn't get to ask yesterday?
I would love to answer them. Go ahead.
Why do you spend so much time bragging about yourself?
Because I'm a god.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that. I am literally a god.
If your girlfriend gets her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, should she go in as a porn star, which is what she is?
He would then say something about, look, leather sweatpants is something I invented, and she shouldn't have a star on the Walk of Fame. She should have her own walk.
I like it.
That he would say something. It would go way beyond it, and you wouldn't know.
I like
it.
Is
she going to get a star?
He said it's the Walk of Fame. She is famous.
There is no doubt about that.
Can't argue
but then
that.
Then that means that Charles Manson should have, Manson,
well,
he should have a star.
Infamous, yeah.
Good point.
He told us yesterday that she is more famous than Marilyn Monroe or Elizabeth Taylor.
Today, that may be true.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, that's the problem, is that as you move through time, people, it's not like kids are... know anything about Cat on a Hot Tin Roof anymore.
Right,
so,
exactly.
No, but we do know they did things. Those two actually did things.
You sound like the worst history teacher ever. Like, look, guys, I know you don't know any... Look, Darwin did something.
He did things.
Okay? Just write that on the test and it's fine.
Now, Joel is here. Of course, the host of The Soup for a long time, and I keep thinking you're going to get too busy... And at some point, you're going to jettison The Soup, but you're going the other direction.
Right.
And adding another show on top of The Soup.
More Soup.
It's called More Soup. It's called Soup Investigates. Yes. I asked that I could do a show while it's sitting in a chair, which I do now.
Okay.
That I could tape just in the same place at the same time as The Soup, and that would round out the hour. And completely annoy people.
Because
often they'll put like a Sex in the City after us, something that usually the audience goes, this is exactly what I expect after The Soup. And it was a way for to get a bunch of my friends working who I thought were really funny. And I will stick to that because, as I said, I'm a god. And
I got to tell you, though, you do a great job on The Soup.
God
bless
you.
You really do.
It, uh, it, you know.
Not anyone can pull that off.
There's no shortage of flameless candle clips.
It's
so
true.
We can get, yeah, and now with, yeah, with Kanye alone. It's been like Thanksgiving every
sure.
week. So.
So the soup investigates, Joel. For you, it's very little work. I mean, literally, it's an extra 20 minutes in the chair just introducing the clips, and then the hardworking correspondents are the ones who are doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly.
Got it. And they pay you a ton of money for it.
Tons. Yeah.
Because we all know how E
is. He's known for that.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it E. I made a down payment on an island, which I am the god of. It's kind of like the Daily Show correspondents going out. Just, you know, less intelligent and
now,
about
how long
pop culture.
Till, I like how it. Long till Chris Hardwick has a talking soup show? Is that going to happen?
That would be great. We are in negotiations now.
Excellent.
But right now he's already thinking of he's got another show where he's going to talk about the show. I think he's going to talk about Grimm or the new Dracula. Or
is that true?
No, I'm okay. Just making that up.
Joel McHale is here. He is the host of The Soup on E! And now The Soup Investigates, which plays right after The Soup on
right.
E!
And Community, when, premiering January 2nd. I'm
never
promoting everything I can.
January 2nd?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's a huge night for television.
Well, let's move it up.
No, what? But when after Christmas and New Year's Day, I know what you're thinking.
I need to lose some weight.
Primetime television
right,
at 8 o'clock.
That's what I meant. Right.
You're not on a plane flying home.
Right, no.
No.
Joel McHale is here. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with more of the Kevin Bean Show. Stand-up comedian, actor,
that was a short
writer,
interview.
Producer. No, we're still here, Joe. We're still on the air.
You're still on.
I am. It's not 7:40.
Joel McHale is drunk,
all
apparently.
Right, I just want to start an argument.
No idea what you're saying.
And can Joel hear me? What's going
he
on
can.
Here?
Oh, yeah.
He's just ignoring me, like you guys
what?
Do. He's the host of the Soup and the Soup Investigates, honey.
I'm good.
What are you up to?
It's really good to see you.
It's great
hey,
to see you. You.
Hey, Joel.
Once again.
Hey.
Are by
McHale.
Far the most attractive person in the studio.
McHale. Hey.
Much,
and the nicest
you.
As well.
Hey, I would say.
Do you remember Bean? That guy was a dick.
Hey,
total
I
dick,
can hear you
right?
guys. I'm right
thank
here.
God.
Hey.
Thank God he died, right?
Once in a while, he's in my head talking
hey,
about
hey, Joe McHale, last time you were on, you couldn't say
yeah,
anything.
Where is he? He's just a
God.
Green gas that floats around the studio now, right? He's like Nosferatu.
Last time you were here, you
is there a song
anything.
Playing right now?
No. There's not. No, we're on the air, Joel.
I don't believe
people
this.
People can hear this.
Oh, great. Oh, good.
Shall I try again, you guys, or should I just shut up?
So what have you been doing, Joel?
Joel!
I went camping.
You went camping with? You don't seem like a camper.
An entire school that I kidnapped.
Were you a...
Up in Idlewild.
You were one of the parents, took your kids.
I was one of the parents.
All right. And how'd that go? How'd that go for 2 days?
It's a lot of people that don't understand where they are. They get very scared. A lot of people leave after one night. It was an all-school camp out to bring everybody together. And as I was telling you... Off air.
Yes.
One of my friend's three-year-olds, at around 3 a.m, just decided to unload her bowels in the sleeping bag.
Whoa, in the sleeping
as
bag.
As if she had had a lot of food from Shakey's or somewhere like that. And it was like the weirdest hose.
Weirdest hose
ever. Well, stinkiest. Yes. Yeah, so, and it was also about 32 degrees.
Yeah,
so then they had to turn the tent inside. It was great.
God.
Doesn't that sound fun?
No. It sounds like hell.
Being a celebrity is the best.
Being a celebrity is the best.
No, yeah, I taped it. It's now going to be it's going to follow the Kardashians. When three-year-olds crap themselves, it will be a clip
hey,
on the suit. Yeah.
Ask Mr. McHale if I could ask him a question.
Bean would like to ask you a question, Joel.
Nope. Shoot, Bean.
Joel, the last time you were here, you couldn't really say anything because Dan Harmon wasn't on the Community show anymore. He wasn't producing. It wasn't running the show anymore. So
right.
Everything was kind of weird. It was that weird season without the boss, without the leader, without the creator. But now he's back. So I assume you can talk about it now.
Yeah.
Is it the greatest thing in the world that Community is coming back and getting a chance to have another season?
Yes. I mean, relatively. Peace in the Middle East would be better, but as far as creatively on network television, it is great.
Were you shocked when it got picked up by NBC? Because we fans were. As much as we wanted it to happen, we felt like it probably wasn't going to this time.
Much like the Seahawks, ugly win last night, there was that moment where you're like, I don't know if this is going to happen. And then it did, thank God. And I think that we, they didn't have to promote a big, huge comedy, you know, if there was a new show. So we were returning, and thank God the fans were, they would have probably stormed the network.
I think
so,
they would have, yeah.
That alone, I think, was a huge help. And yeah, and with Dan back, I know you hear all this stuff all the time about how people think their shows are great, but it really is the greatest show in the history of television.
No,
the scripts are better than we've ever. I think they're as good. You know, they're just dynamite. I'd love to tell you about
the feeling. The feeling I got, and you know that I'm a legitimate Community fan and have been since day one. And you know, our show has had everybody from your cast on. I mean, we've done everything we could to promote, the show and rally people to keep it on the air. But last season was like watching the dead go on after Jerry Garcia died. You know what I mean? It's just like the
you mean the greatest band of all time? I mean, David Byrne without Talking Heads. That was great.
I mean, the center was missing. It was just it was just weird.
Yes.
You
well,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because the show is in Dan's brain, and it always has been, and it flows out of his brain, and if you don't have that brain there, then it's rudderless. So he is back now, and everything that kind of happened last year, he has, you know, he's incorporated, but he's justified, you know, different things. A bunch of questions have to be answered.
Last season was a dream sequence. Basically, that's what's happening, right?
We do. It is referred to as the gas leak year. that stuff. And now we have Jonathan Banks on the show, who I don't know if you remember him from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
He's phenomenal. And, of course, John Oliver from The Daily Show is back.
Too.
He was in the first two seasons. So I really am. I skip to work. It's odd because you'll see me skipping down.
I can't picture that, but I'll take your word
for it. Did Jim Rash become a dick when he won his Oscar?
Yes, he is okay. Big.
Oh, you can't say that.
All right, now I know the line.
You know the line, right?
Can you say Harry? No.
Yes, by itself.
Right. But if I say...
Nope.
All right. Then I'm
Does enlarged? Donald Glover have a lot of attitude because he's a famous rapper?
Well, he's a really good rapper. I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for playing all his music, guys.
Oh, we do. We jam it.
But no, he's got a new album coming out, which he played me some stuff, and it's great.
But you had to tell him it's great because he's a friend.
Well, yeah. But yeah. Now I think I am pretty on it. Like when I see you this morning, I'm like, wow, you've really aged. Lisa, you look great. You're wearing
the,
I think
the
you're wearing the same sweatshirt. Again, when you walk into, if you ever come into the K-Rock studios, you think, oh, this is just the Lisa May show because Bean's not here and you're lying on a yoga mat stretching your back out.
But, it's hard to argue any of those points.
That's sorry.
Is there any chance, Joel, that you will lay down a fresh rap on the next Childish Gambino album?
If you want it to sell, then no, I won't. I mean, if you don't want the world to cry. Yes. No, as you know, when my hip-hop career ended, I decided to go into acting. So.
You did, and you put it behind you for real.
A lot of people confused me with DMX for a long time. And
when Joel drops the mic and walks off the stage, he ain't coming back. That's what we learned about Joel.
I was almost in Exit Wounds, which is one of the greatest movies of all time.
That's an awesome reference that none of our listeners got that way, Joel. Well done.
They're not Seagal fans?
One person.
Okay.
Joel, I know you have to go to do a fancy
No,
TV
I'm here all
interview.
Morning, guys. I'm fine.
What time do you have to leave for reals? Because we'd love it if you could stick around for one more, because Ralph's going to come in and do the Showbiz Beat next. Will you stick around for
let's
that?
Let's do it. I don't care what they say. What time
Fantastic.
Is it?
Fantastic. It's time for you to shut up because we're going to take a break and come back with more with our guest Joel McHale right after this at the Kevin Beecher.
It's back, the sale you crave. Marie Callender's Whole Pie to Go sale is going on now. Marie's legendary, irresistible whole pies to go for just $7.99.
What if I just want a slice?
No, you got to get the
Can't
whole
do
thing.
That.
Don't miss it. Your favorite pie is waiting. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Why not buy a pie and share it with your friends, you selfish bastard?
I don't have any friends.
Good question. Isn't that the truth?
Hey, Ralph Garbutt is here with the show.
Ralph,
Beat
you
like
don't need any
do
more pie.
On the Kevin and Bean Show.
Why don't you go to do some more bench presses? Jesus.
That's a weird insult.
But you used to be human, and now you're like just, now you're Joe Piscopo. You've gone from being
it's because they make him
take
his,
back.
Because they make him take his shirt
back.
Off.
You were funny and thin, and now you're all puffy and swole because you got a network TV show. Now you got to be, you know, Charles Atlas.
Oh, Charles Atlas.
That's another reference that no one else is going to get.
Yes, I got hit. I was reading Grit. And I cut out his little ad, and he's going to tell me how to stay in shape.
Great!
They do make Joel take his shirt off on Community every single episode.
Is that why you
Thank you, Bean.
Is that why you've just
Well, what came first? The shirt came off, or did you just keep lifting and lifting and then say, hey, look at me, you need to make me a sex symbol now
they
the
wrote
shirt's off?
A naked billiards episode, and that said it. That started it.
Put
you would,
in
too,
motion.
If someone said now, in 2 weeks, you got to be
now
naked.
You're obsessed, and now you have some sort of fixation.
Yeah, HGH is very tasty.
That's where the roid rage is coming from. That's why
I'm so angry.
You are, I can tell. Speaking of anger, Miley Cyrus is angry.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
She whines to the November issue of Cosmopolitan that society wants to shut me down.
I don't think so. I love that little boy.
I think she's right. I would like to shut her down, whatever it is that she does. She says she's the underdog.
Really?
Despite the fact that literally everyone is talking about me.
Oh. She said that?
You know, once we've changed the definition of literally to mean yeah. it doesn't have to be literal, anyone's using it any way they want.
Everyone's talking?
Everyone is talking about her.
Yeah. The president of Germany was just recently talking about her.
Despite that fact, she said she's having the best time ever.
Really?
Sounds like it.
It sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on. Everyone's against me. Everyone's talking and
wants
I'm having
me to shut down, she said.
She should.
Maybe she's thinking about the federal government. Maybe
she should shut down her colorist.
Keep her tongue in her mouth. Katy Perry, however, is tired of seeing Miley's breasts and ass.
Really?
Yeah. She has breasts?
Mm. Well, you know. What
doesn't Miley Cyrus kind of look like now when you go see a Shakespeare play and the hot ingenue dresses up like a man and everyone on stage says, pretend, oh, yeah, this is the new guy. But everyone in the audience is like, well, yeah, that's just a girl dressed up as a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Sure.
Stop now.
Like in Merchant of Venice, for example.
Yeah. Thanks.
Katy Perry says singers should keep their clothes on. She says she's tired of seeing her female peers in pop music all getting naked.
Hey, wait, keep that to yourself, Katy.
Well, doesn't Katy get...
No, she never puts on scantily clad outfits, she doesn't really get naked. Which I think is genius now, because in a world where everyone's getting naked, it's the clothed woman that's sexy.
Well, she's also much sexier just by her body type than Miley Cyrus.
And her breasts do shoot whipped cream.
That's true.
Oh. Her kid's going to be so lucky. All mine got was milk from my wife.
A lot of sugar.
All right. Okay, I'll go on a diet. Jeez, let it go, will you?
Well, you got really excited about the whipped cream.
Let's go do some curls.
All right.
Emile Hirsch, speaking of weight gain, is going to have to put some pounds on. He just got cast as John Belushi in the new biopic about John Belushi's life.
Good Lord, he's going to have to put a whole other person on.
I know. Imagine how Joel's going to mock him.
No.
He will play John during the prime of his career, during the height of his fame with the Blues Brothers on Saturday Night Live, Animal House, and also will deal with his relationship with his longtime sweetheart and long-suffering wife, Judy.
Okay. Joel, maybe you can play Elwood.
I'm going to play Chevy.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
And
son of a bitch!
It is the season.
That's the greeting I got every morning.
Is he coming back, by the way, for season five or no?
Well, no, because he did kind of leave mid-season last year. So
right.
So he's gone.
Did you replace it with Fred Willard on an episode? It's just weird.
Yes, we did. But
now, the gas leak again?
Yeah. But Jonathan Banks now, as you'll see, is...
He plays the crazy old guy.
Amazing, yeah.
Okay.
It is the season. That means new Christmas albums are being released this week.
Oh, no.
Today... We are focusing on Duck the Halls, the Robertson Family Christmas album. The Robertsons, of course, from Duck Dynasty.
Yes.
What's your take on that show, Joel? You a fan?
I'm fascinated by how big it's become.
Crazy big, yeah.
It's, you know, I get why Walking Dead and shows like Game of Thrones are huge, but I still, because they, or like Mama June, it was that morbid curiosity. It's like, maybe she might die this episode. And with this, I got to hand it to them. I can't. It's amazing. And every baseball player now seems to look like them.
That's true.
Especially in Boston.
Do you watch it?
I do not, sir.
Have you ever watched an episode?
No, sir, I have not.
I have.
His wife is very attractive.
I have porn.
Oh.
I don't really need to watch Duck Dynasty to get my attractive women.
Well, much like Katy Perry staying bundled up, I turn to Duck Dynasty. If I hear a duck call, it's... A tent pitching time.
Really? Well, maybe we should play track three from Duck the Halls, the titular
Hold on, let me get a pencil so I can stab myself in the ear.
This is the title track from the album, Duck the Halls, A Robertson Family Christmas. Here you go.
Just for you, Joel.
All right. I'm good. Good. I'm good. Please stop it. I'm going to go to... Stop it.
This is real.
I'm going to go over to K-Earth. Stop it.
You don't like that?
No. That's poor. That's great.
From what I can tell of Duck Dynasty, it is the least of all the fake reality shows that tries to pretend it's a real reality show. Don't they? It's like a sitcom almost?
I feel like Pawn Stars is number one in that area.
Really?
I feel like the negotiation for goods is like, I couldn't believe that what I was looking at when I saw that 1806 musket. Phil, can you believe that? No, I can't believe that.
I'm going to have to call in my expert buddy here because I don't know what I'm dealing with and I don't want to overpay on this.
You sound too convincing, though. You've got to flatten out the delivery.
I can't.
You can't sound passionate at all. And then they go like, I'll give you $2,000 for it right now. And then he's like, where are you going? That's an insult. And then 12 commercial breaks later, they buy it for $2,200.
Yeah. I see a one-man show. That's what I see.
Joel McHale is the Pawn Star.
Yep.
Yeah. Playing all the roles. But Duck Dynasty seems to me like there's just such fabricated scenarios that they put these guys in. It's completely scripted.
Well, like, as are many.
I mean, but this one seems like almost sitcom scripted. Like, oh, we had a car
Are you saying
accident.
The Kardashians are better actors than the Duck Dynasty?
I guess
folks?
I am. That's why she should get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Did she really? That really
happened
yesterday.
That really happened, yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Dreyfuss is 66 years old today. Dan Castellaneta, of course, from The Simpsons, turns 56. Winona Ryder is 42. Ben Foster turns 33 years old today, and bassist Chris Baio of Vampire Weekend is 29.
Oh. When's your birthday?
It's coming up, November the 17th.
Do you ever get calls when you read off celebrity birthdays?
Sometimes. You know,
especially if he forgets somebody.
You know,
really?
Here's
what was the biggest complaint you ever forgot for forgetting?
Ken Jeong.
I know Ken Jeong.
I know you do.
We were in Vampire Suck together.
Yeah. We wished him a happy birthday all day long, and he called up and said, it's not my birthday, would you please stop? We had the date completely wrong, and he was getting calls from friends and family, and it was the wrong date.
But the other side of that coin, Ralph, is remember the year you forgot to mention or chose not to mention Morrissey? Remember how his fans came out of the woodwork that year?
Yeah, they were upset.
For the neglect.
But the biggest laugh I ever got from someone we actually talked about was Ken Jeong. We had the wrong
stop good it.
Problems. He was being pestered.
Yeah, that's a good problem.
Now I feel bad.
Is it true that Morrissey canceled the Staples Center show because they wouldn't close the McDonald's? Okay.
I believe so.
You have no idea.
I don't.
Let's not.
I know he doesn't like Duck Dynasty. I know that much.
How do you know?
Because he said, I don't like Duck Dynasty.
He doesn't know if it's run by ducks or anything. Maybe it's...
Wasn't he the one who wouldn't go on Jimmy Kimmel's show because he had the Duck Dynasty guys on?
That was Morrissey. Yes,
that's correct.
You are correct.
Okay, yep. We all have our
nice
battles.
Yes, we do.
Joel McHale is the host of The Soup and The Soup Investigates, which is Wednesday nights at 10 and 10:30 on the E! Network. Let's give it up for Joel for stopping by
thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to see you, sir. Thanks for the time.
It's great to come in. Can I come tomorrow?
Nope.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You're in.
TV and movie cult hero Bruce Campbell joins us later in the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, our old friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petrick and Money Radio Show.
That is
Fox Sports Radio, AM 570. Hi, Money.
It's just not fair.
What?
I mean, I got to follow Joel McHale.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle here.
You're right between Bruce Campbell.
Just not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool. The show taking a dramatic dip.
We are excited to see you, Matt. We always love when you come back to visit the Kevin and Bean Show. And there's so much going on in the world of sports, not the least of which, and it's easy to kind of forget this with, deep into the NFL season and with hockey back and with the World Series going on. Basketball returns for reals tonight.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, what's up with that is it's an 82-game season, and people always say how it's too long and wake me up when it's mid-April and the playoffs start. And when, like you just said, you have the World Series and you only play 16 regular season games in the NFL, those things tend to take precedent. You forget that LeBron James is going to be back on a court doing things that no human has ever done on a basketball court
do
before.
If you were the NBA commissioner, would you want a shorter season? Or is it just doesn't make any economic sense to give up all that money?
You know, if I were the NBA commissioner, I would be as unctuous and condescending as David Stern is, first of all.
Good.
Because nobody is better at doing those sort of things than he is. And no, I wouldn't shorten it because of money, and that's why they never will. Look, if there were no dollars involved, of course, you know, we absolutely would shorten the baseball season, we'd shorten the basketball season, we'd extend the football season, but that's just the reality
of where we're at. Like, especially this year, it seems like you extend the football season, there's going to be no one on the field.
No, and that's why.
It's been crazy.
It's just wildly irresponsible to even debate the idea of playing 18 games instead of 16.
Right, right. Last night I was watching the Monday night game, as I'm sure you were, Matt, and Charles Barkley came on because nothing makes more sense in a football halftime show than to have Charles Barkley come on to preview
every show.
Yeah.
To preview the NBA season. His prediction was twofold, and I want to get your comments on both. A, that the NBA finals this year will be the Miami Heat going for a three-peat versus the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
B, he says the Lakers will not make the playoffs.
I think I would concur on both points. I'm not quite sure about the Clippers making the finals, just because, look, I love Chris Paul. I think he's one of the five best players in the league. But for one reason or another, he just has not acquitted himself in the postseason. I mean, the guy has got past the first round once, or twice, I should say, in his career. Past the first round. He's never made the conference finals. I love this Clippers team.
Is that on him?
I think so.
You know,
if you're the leader of the team and you have a 2-0 series lead on the Memphis Grizzlies, your team should advance to the second round.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. You should not lose that series, and you're just going to have to take that responsibility, fair or not. So I do put that on him. But he's wildly competitive. He makes his teammates better. And you know, I should say more than Chris, I'd put it on Vinny Del Negro last year. Just wasn't a very good coach. Not a great in-game coach or strategist.
Do you think with the new coach that they're going to be a whole different
Absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Doc is awesome.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, players love playing for the guy. And he's
a winner.
He's a winner. Yeah. I mean, look, you've got Rick Carlisle, Doc Rivers, Eric Spoelstra, and Greg Popovich. That's it. Those are guys that are coaching in the NBA right now that have won an NBA championship. He is one of four. He's got one of the five best players in the league.
Yeah.
And probably another one of the best 20 in the league in Blake Griffin. The role players he picked up are great. Clippers are a really, really good team, and they deserve to be mentioned with the Spurs, the Thunder, and now probably the Warriors as the teams that you'd pick to come out of the West.
What are your thoughts on the Los Angeles Clippers covering up the Lakers banners with posters of their players?
I think it's insane that it didn't happen the second Staples Center Open.
Are you kidding?
I mean,
it's sort of pathetic.
Well, it's not pathetic.
It is to me.
Why?
Because
that's
you're
their
just
home
going,
game.
Yeah, I know. But you're just
Kevin, if we were holding a K-Rock event in this building in a room that is usually used for AMP radio, wouldn't we cover up the AMP radio signs and put K-Rock signs up if we were filming an event?
That's different, though, because that's just identifying
it's a community,
what it is.
It's a community room that's used by two people. Why not decorate it for whoever's room it is that night?
I always thought it was odd that they let the banners hang when they had their home game. It didn't make any sense. But then again, you know, just go big picture here and pull out, and you'll see Donald Sterling. You know, he wanted to play at Staples Center because he wanted a piece of what? The suite money. You have to buy a year's, you know, basically you have to subscribe to the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Kings if you want a suite, and the premier seats. It was very smart of him financially, very irresponsible for him from a basketball standpoint, because they built a stadium with what? A purple hue, purple seats. It's a Lakers slash, to some degree, King Stadium. And the Clippers in red, white, and blue, I'm sure when they first showed up, they were like, what the hell is this? And you know what, though? It speaks to Doc Rivers, that's the kind of guy that comes in, looks up at the ceiling, and says, the hell is that? We're not playing underneath those banners anymore. And I think that's an indication of the difference that a guy like Doc can make and why it makes sense to pick them to take that next step.
He's treating the team like champions, and he's expecting them to be champions rather than just going in there with the mindset, well, you're the Clippers and you're the also-ran and you're lucky to be here.
Yeah, last year we got the sense of, hey, we're finally going to win our first division title. I mean, that was kind of the idea that it had never happened before.
Yeah.
Never had they won just the Pacific Division, and certainly they are miles ahead of the Lakers from a talent standpoint, from a cohesiveness standpoint. The Lakers have a bunch of new dudes. I mean, when you talk about Charles Barkley saying they're going to miss the playoffs, here's your starting five tonight. Pau Gasol at the center, Steve Nash at the point guard, okay? Steve Nash, the oldest player in the NBA, number one. Pau, of course, is dealing with injuries. Love him. Think he has an opportunity to carry the Lakers while Kobe's out. In between those two, You have Sean Williams.
Oh, thank God Sean Williams is playing.
Okay.
You've got, I don't even know. You've got, Steve Blake playing the two guard and Nick Young at the three. Exactly.
Who's the Nick?
That's your Nick starting Young. Five. That's your Lakers starting
out?
Five. Who knows?
Well, actually, we need to take a break, but we'll come back. The NBA season does start tonight with Lakers Clippers, and Matt Money Smith is here. We'll continue in a second on K-Rock.
Matt Money Smith in the studio with us.
Can I go back to something? Can I just quickly?
Well, can he finish introducing you?
No, sorry.
Matt Money Smith in studio. Yep. He is the co-host of the Petros and Money Radio Show weekday afternoons on Fox Sports Radio AM 570.
Yeah, come hang out with us at Hooters today. Yeah!
Woo!
Hooters across from Staples Center today.
What
we're big
what
time.
What did you want to go back to?
Lisa was talking about the 605 between the 210 and the 10.
Yes.
Have you guys seen these Rose Hills Cemetery billboards up all over the city? They're like old people acting wacky, you know, like there's one right, and it just came to mind.
Acting wacky?
It's old people that are about to die.
Right.
Okay? Like death is imminent.
Uh-huh.
And they have like this old woman wearing just what you would, like just a vision. Remember those 2000 like New Year's Eve glasses that everybody wore that were all glittery and giant?
Yeah, sure.
That's like what she's wearing. And it's just awkward to me.
Woo! Like, we're about to die.
About to die.
Here's where
and
I want to go.
You see that hill right there in Whittier? I'm going to be buried under 6 foot of dirt right there, and I'm feeling good about it.
Look at me with these wacky glasses.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Like, how does that? How if you look? Maybe I need to age another 30 years, and then I'll understand that. Hey, you know what? I was going to be buried in that cemetery over there in Irwindale, but you know what? Come to think of it, look at that woman and how excited she is.
They party at that one.
I'm going to Rose Hills. Embalm me, throw me in an oak casket, and I'm going to Rose Hills now. It's just about, I'm sorry.
All right, Matt Money Smith is in the studio with us. NBA starts tonight.
It
Lakers,
does.
Clippers. We spent a lot of time talking about the Clippers. Let's talk about the Lakers and Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
And you think this is going to be a... not just bad, but a disastrous year.
No, well, I'd
is
love
that true?
I would love Lisa to weigh in on this topic, but she began eating.
Yeah,
so I'm guessing she's gonna just
I can totally
sit this
talk.
One out.
There's so many guests.
It's okay.
She can talk with her mouth full.
I can totally do that.
It's okay. Yeah.
As you know,
it's okay.
And what is bring us up to speed with where Kobe is in his recovery now? What's wrong with him, and where's he?
We don't know. No one knows.
He blew out his Achilles. Kobe's a warrior. Kobe's the toughest guy in the history of the NBA. He plays through pain better than anybody else. We keep hearing that. We kept hearing that. And we keep hearing that he's ahead of schedule. He's ahead of schedule until the opener came. Yeah, he's not so much ahead of schedule. It's just not cool. You know, I always used to say it when I did the post game and people would call, when's he coming back? We're not doctors. We're not orthopedists. We don't know. And nobody knows. So why try to speculate or project when he's going to return when – look, it doesn't matter. When he puts on a uniform and he steps out there, then he'll be there. Until then – he's not, and this is the team the Lakers are putting on the court, and it's not pretty. Again, Nick Young, Steve Blake, Sean Williams. That's your 2, 3, and 4 right now. And that's why they're not going to be good, you know, and Steve Nash is going to probably take off. He won't play tomorrow night against Golden State. He'll probably sit the game out because he's 39. He's going to be rationed. I would imagine his minutes will be rationed. So
you play him preciously.
Yeah, 30 minutes a game probably instead of 37, 38 like you would your normal starting point guard. So, yeah, it's just – and there's a bunch of guys on one-year contracts because they want to go into next year's free agency when LeBron's available and Dwayne Wade's available and Chris Bosh and all these dudes with a whole bunch of money to see if anyone will take it to come play with Kobe.
Well, that's depressing. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Will they?
No.
Nobody wants to play with Kobe.
No, they don't. And it's been a wildly unpopular position for me to take. And people call me the hater. But look, I'm telling you, they as talented as he is, and he is one of the greatest players to have ever laced up shoes and stepped on that hardwood, he's very hard to play with. And when he's 35 years old and coming off an Achilles injury and he still wants to be the guy and still wants to win the finals MVP when he's not the best player on his team, if it's LeBron James or Chris Bosh or Carmelo or whoever it is that signs, that's just an untenable situation. And I do not see a superstar in his prime wanting any part of that. You're welcome.
Is it likely that the Heat will win it all again this year?
Well, LeBron's just so damn good. And, you know, for all his detractors prior to his winning his first championship, now he's basically – look, It's not the same, but it's similar to Michael Jordan. When Michael Jordan, he's nothing but a scorer. He's a ball hog. He'll never win a championship. And then all of a sudden, he won that first one and look the hell out. And that's the same sort of feeling we had with LeBron. He's not an assassin. He doesn't have that killer instinct.
He's
always passing for the last shot. And after he won that first one, it's like, okay, here we go. He's got four MVPs already. He's going to probably earn another four.
Wow.
And he's got a shot to go down as the greatest player in the history of the game just because he's so different and so much better than everybody else.
Clippers and Lakers playing tonight. Yep. It's on TNT from Staples Center. Hey, before you go, we opened up, Matt, when you sat down talking about Charles Barkley's predictions about the NBA Finals. I want to get your take on his predictions for the NFL Super Bowl next year. He says Seattle Seahawks versus Denver Broncos. Your thoughts?
Well, if that's it, then I feel bad for the Broncos because the one thing they don't do well, and boy, is this going to get super analytical. You know, I was just in Denver calling the Broncos Redskins game,
sure.
As a matter of fact. The one thing they don't do well is...
Bravehearts, Broncos Bravehearts, please, politically correct.
Oh, good God. The one thing they don't do well is, I hate even saying it, their receivers, it's all timing, right? So they got to get off the line of scrimmage with no one just pressing them and bumping them and chipping them, and that's all Seattle does.
Ah.
So all the receivers now, they're out of sync, and Peyton's just not good in those situations. So if, in fact, that's the Super Bowl, I would say that the Seahawks have a pretty darn good shot at winning it. I mean, that sounds right. I'm always apt to pick the guys with the superstar quarterbacks, the team. So I'd lean a little bit more Saints or Packers as opposed to the Seahawks. That defense is so damn good, though. I just figure half of it will get suspended for substance abuse or something like that. Because that's kind of what happened last year. It all fell apart. They're so much bigger than everybody else. It's just that's the way I figure that train will be derailed.
No, hold on a second. I resent the accusation.
Of course
you
do.
They're just hitting a growth spurt at 24. That happens, buddy.
Yeah,
we all know. It's just biology, man.
Their wrists are the size of U-Ban coffee cans. But hey, it's the Pacific Northwest. It's mercury poisoning or something that's leading to that. All that fish they're sucking back. That sounds right. I mean, the Broncos are very hard to pick against. The Chiefs defense is really good. I mean, we're halfway through. We just talked about it. Attrition in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, quarterbacks go down. Receivers go down. Defensive end. I mean, look at Seattle last night. They were without their left and their right tackle. Russell Wilson was just like a tackling dummy for those Rams defensive ends last night, and that's why it was such an ugly game. So you just never know in this game. It's so violent and physical. Dudes get hurt, and it turns into a big mess quick.
Well, we know you have another meeting to get to over there at the NFL Network. But thanks so much for the time. It's always great to catch up with our good friend Matt Money Smith, Fox Sports Radio, AM 570, weekday afternoons.
My goddamn money.
Baby. Yeah, let's talk about that. Are we not
out of time?
Are we not square on the whole bet thing?
No.
Sorry, we're out of time.
How much does he owe you?
He owes me $50.
$50. And when are you going to pay, B?
$50, man.
It's on the way. Yeah, I've never welched on a bet. You know that you're going to get it. You know you're going to get it. You're going to get it in a form that's
going
to be very difficult for you to spend.
Yeah. What I'm going to get
in an unusable form.
Yeah, right? It is, actually.
Thank you, man.
By the way, our friend Nicole Alvarez tonight, again after 6 o'clock, is going to be giving away tickets for Fright Night in the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space to see the band Avenged Sevenfold. How's that for an awesome way to spend the Day of the Dead this Friday? That's tonight right here on K-Rock. It is that time of year when all sorts of scary stuff is happening. The Kamikaze Expo is going on down at the Los Angeles Convention Center. That is happening this weekend. And one of the very special guests, there will be a long line to meet this legend in the flesh. Bruce Campbell joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hey, Bruce.
Good morning.
What's going on, man?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Bruce, what's it like after being 7 years on a TV show to finally have that wrap up and now wake up and go, hey, I got a little time to live again? What's that feeling like?
Well, it's kind of like this. Yip, yip, yeah! That mixed, of course, with mixed emotions every time I drive past a bank.
Sure. Well, there's that. You do still have to pay a mortgage, I assume. But I mean,
I no longer pull the truck up in front of the bank and dump gold coins on its step every week.
That was like season 5, 6, and 7, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And now, man, let me tell you guys, I'm making cable residuals, so watch out.
All right.
kind of like AFTRA, you know, kind of like radio. So.
It's a dream gig for an actor to be on a series, particularly a series that you loved as much as you loved Burn Notice. But, I mean, at some point, everything's got to end, and then you got to think, hey, what's next, right?
Yeah, and eventually, you know, is it going to be Michael Weston in space or in New York City, or do you shrink him down? You know, you're going to run out of ideas. actually, of what to do after 7 years. And I think we milked it. We shot in every fancy high-end condo and every crappy burned-out building in the great city of Miami. So I think it was time. And it'll live on in syndication heaven. And, you know, if the funny thing is, after all this time, we tied exactly Miami Vice. We each did 111 episodes.
Is that right?
Oh, that's interesting. How about
that? They ran shorter. We ran longer, but we didn't do as many per year. But, so we're tied with our iconic brother.
Right. So, Bruce, people come up to you on the street all the time, and it seems to me, just based on the stuff that gets reported, that mostly people want to talk to you about sequels of things you've already done. Does that drive you crazy that that's kind of the mentality of people, rather than be excited about something that's brand new that we haven't seen before?
I think that's kind of human nature. You want to see what you want to see. You know, I have people who come up to me who don't really know about Burn Notice. And then some people who watch Burn Notice go, oh, I didn't know that old guy was in those weird horror movies a long time ago. So it's really just whatever you want to watch. And I can't blame anybody for wanting more of the same.
Now,
you're just going to punish them with the movie.
What are you going to be doing this weekend at Kamikaze?
I'm going to be tormenting fans face-to-face. We're going to be signing their favorite stuff. We're going to be insulting them. We're going to take special photo ops, so I recommend put the basketball shorts away just for this weekend and wear a thing called pants. And
those are fighting words.
Wouldn't kill you. I don't know. So I always dress up because these photographs will be on people's mantles passed along through generations.
Are you positive of that?
Thousands of years. How would I know? But why not go big?
Right. a lot of great guests at Stan Lee's Kamikaze. And by the way, the great Stan Lee himself is going to be joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We always love talking to Stan, but he's going to be there this weekend. Elvira is going to be there. Weird Al is going to be there. Bruce, you got slotted in for Saturday. You're going to be at the LA Convention Center this Saturday. So people will come up to you and get their photos and their autographs. Do you see any tattoos related to your body of work, sir?
Oh, my heavens. I take pictures of them. I collect them. I'm up to, I think, 177 pictures I have.
Wow.
Of tattoos. I have an Iraq war veteran whose entire back is the poster of Army of Darkness.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
His whole back. He showed me a picture, and I said, what's wrong with this picture? That's the poster of Army of Darkness. And he goes, well, it's just kind of weird because it's on my back. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
And we pulled his shirt off, and we paraded him in front of the line, and they cheered him. his massive amount of ink.
177.
And you must look at that, and you must go, look, I was in the movie. I like the movie, but you crazy, right?
No. My dad was in advertising. My dad would be so happy. It's a walking billboard. What do you have to complain about?
As long as he takes his shirt off.
Well, yeah, and he seemed to have enjoyed taking it.
So. You can get all the details at kamikazeexpo.com. There's one-day passes. There's three-day passes. Kids under 12 are free with a paid adult admission, and Bruce Campbell himself is going to be there on Saturday. So what's the next thing that we will see you in, Bruce?
I'm doing that obnoxious thing called development.
Okay.
It's where I could tell you anything all day long and nothing would ever happen.
Well, so just make up something good.
I am. I'm working on a new show with USA.
Okay.
All right. All right.
My same network, and I would have to kill you if I told you what it was.
You let us know when that's on, Bruce. You are always welcome on the Kevin DeBean Show, man. It's great to catch up with you.
Thank you very much. Come on down and see me with my honey, Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. Oh,
there we go.
Right. Wow, way to bury the lead.
Now we're talking.
Why don't you start with Alyssa Milano, and we'll work from there.
And RuPaul. So come on down. You get
a little
it
something
all
for everyone. I like it.
Yes.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you very much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Ralph is here once again. Time for the Showbiz Beat on Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Nothing.
Dude.
Oh, dude.
Why so down?
Why so down?
Yeah. What happened?
What kind of question is that?
I thought everybody was having a good time.
Oh, are they? How can you have a good time when the world is falling around us?
It's not raining again, is it?
No, it's rain. I would dream about rain. I'd wish for rain compared to this news.
Uh-oh.
How can you just go on? Like, well, everything's the same. Like, nothing's changed. Like, everything hasn't changed forever.
I'm unaware of anything that has changed.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Apparently,
you're unaware, all right.
Apparently, we need to change our tone. What's wrong, Ralph?
Official word has come down today and officially announced. The Jonas Brothers have broken up.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Yes. What?
Jonas Brothers have broken up.
God damn it, no! No!
They will never perform together again.
The Joe Bros?
Joe Bros?
Joe Bros?
Not the Joe Bos. No.
Did I say Bos?
Yes. But the Joe Bros.
The Joe Bros?
It's over for now, said Kevin Jonas.
What?
He was one of the Jonas Brothers, was he?
Yes. Nick Jonas, 21, echoed his older brother's sentiments. It's really hard to say forever, but we're closing a chapter for sure.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
According to Joe Jonas, the third of the Jonas Brothers, it was a unanimous decision, he said. And then, of course, Alan Jonas, the fourth Jonas Brother,
I'm pretty sure there weren't four.
Maybe we'll get back together again. I don't know.
I don't think there's... You can't say that.
Oh.
You can't say that word.
Well, that's what Carl said.
Well, I know, but he's...
I'm just reporting what Carl said.
All right. Carl's not a Jonas Brother,
and,
of
course, Louise Jonas, the sixth Jonas Brother, said... their hearts are with the fans, and thank you for all the support.
Wow.
Jonas Brothers, over. End of an era.
Honestly,
end of an era.
I thought they broke up like 3 years ago, Ralph.
Bean.
And then they just cancel a tour? Is
they
that
just canceled
part
the
of
fall
it?
Tour, okay. Yes.
Because they're no longer a band.
Because one of them is whacked out on speedballs.
Allegedly.
Or goofy on hairballs or something.
Yeah,
whatever the
case.
What's happening?
Yep.
Fire beer mug.
What happens? What usually happens when beer mug decides to indiscriminately start playing drops in the middle of the showbiz? I'm glad you find this funnier than I do. It's been announced.
Look,
Emil Hirsch.
Ralph is already in a delicate place, Mug.
That's right.
Now's not the time to start screwing around.
Oh, sorry. Emil Hirsch has been tapped to play John Belushi in the upcoming film about the legendary comedy star's life. Odd choice, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is sort of strange.
Great actor, Emil Hirsch. I enjoy his work enormously. He's going to have to start going on the Kevin Ryder all ice cream diet if he wants to get to John Belushi proportions, because he's a little slight little fella. The movie will reportedly cover John's relationship with his wife and high school sweetheart, Judy, who, by the way, is among the people producing the film. It'll begin filming in New York in the spring. We'll cover the highlights of Belushi's career, the Blues Brothers, Animal House, of course, Saturday Night Live. And we'll also cover his unexpected death at the age of 33. Did you know he was 33 when he passed away?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ralph, wasn't there a TV movie with Michael Chiklis as Belushi?
No, there was a feature film called Wired with Michael Chiklis, who
played
Belushi, and it was a great film. I thought he did a great job, too, a great performance. That was his first big break, actually, was
Wired.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Based on a tell-all book about, an unauthorized biography, a tell-all book about Belushi after he passed. But this will be the first one that's sanctioned by the Belushi family. So, Emil Hirsch. And good news for Entourage fans, a deal has been reached with All of the Boys, and the movie will begin filming in January.
As anyone in this town can tell you, I am a dream weaver.
That's right. Entourage, the feature film, finally going to happen.
You said Entourage fans.
I think we now have to recast and have the Jonas Brothers play the play the guys. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Baio from Vampire Weekend is 29 years old today. Actor Ben Foster is 33. Gabrielle Union, boy, she lovely, 40 years old today. Winona Ryder is 42. Dan Castellaneta is 56 years old today. Remember the time I did Homer to him and he did not appreciate it?
I don't remember. I remember you did it, but
it was a fun time.
He didn't appreciate it.
No, I didn't care for it at all.
Your Homer is great.
I appreciate that. I'm saying Dan Castellaneta did not appreciate
she
that.
She didn't think it was great.
I remember later in the interview after I did a little call-in bit with him, you asked him to say something as Homer. He said, why don't you have Ralph do it?
Wow.
Oh.
Frosty.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a frosty moment.
Good times.
I don't think he appreciated me doing the voice to him, the man who does the voice.
Was that perhaps the last appearance
that was the last time I remember him being on the show?
Yeah. You ran him off.
Yeah.
Nice work.
That's what I do. And Richard Dreyfuss is 66 years old today.
Do you have time for another clip?
Oh, I'd love to hear some more of Beer Mug's in-depth interview with Oscar-winning actor Richard Dreyfuss, one of my favorites, and has a rich career. A lot to talk about there with Richard Dreyfuss.
Now, there were some complaints, Ralph, from the last clip we played a couple of hours ago because it was all Beer Mug and no Mr. Dreyfuss. So I think you'd be happy. I've selected another clip from the interview where Richard Dreyfuss does get to chime in.
Oh, good.
All right, good.
I am here with the legend, Mr. Richard Dreyfuss. I had mentioned to one of my coworkers before I came here today that I was going to be interviewing the legendary Richard Dreyfuss about a miniseries called Coma. And she got really excited. She's like, oh, Coma. I saw a movie called Coma about patients going into a hospital for very minor things and all of a sudden them just going into comas. And she says, I wonder if it's the same thing. Now, it was original film by Michael Crichton.
Here he is.
Yes. The film was by Michael, and the novel was by Robin Cook.
Correct.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
The great Richard Dreyfuss.
Beer Mug letting Richard Dreyfuss know he's correct about the facts about his project.
Right. He can tell a story, can't he, that Muggs?
I want to hear more about your coworkers' movie-going habits.
And what they said to you when they heard you were going to be interviewing.
And then have you describe the plot to the original feature film Coma to the guy who's in the new miniseries about it.
And then validate the fact that he's telling the truth about his own stuff.
Is that possibly Beer Mug's greatest interview?
Well, that's so many
certainly one
from.
Of them. That has to be in the top five.
I think so. The sheer disdain in Richard Dreyfuss' voice when he's dealing with him encapsulates so much better than my feelings for Beer Mug.
Yeah.
I feel like Rich and I could have a beer and talk about it. Share some things, get it off our chest.
I think the World War II interview may have been his best.
That's true. Yeah. When he asked the World War II vet what it was like serving next to Captain America. And then when he found out he was a prisoner in a prisoner of war camp.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 ice balls a day, and that did, and they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing.
That is amazing. More amazing than being submitted to beatings on a daily basis.
3 rice balls a day and beaten daily. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You ever see my friend's hair? It's thinning. He uses Rogaine.
My friend one time was putting Rogaine on. He was watching a World War II special.
But then he flipped over to Coma. But people going in for minor things.
Do you know Richard Dreyfuss?
When I was in 7th grade... I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Look, second terms are notoriously difficult. Presidents have a lot of trouble in their second terms, and President Barack Obama is no exception. He's got an economy that's not coming back.
I think it's going well.
His signature program was this health care that he managed to get through, and a lot of people, as you know, that's what shut down the government. There are a lot of people in government who hate the health care plan, don't want it imposed upon people. And then on top of that, adding even more misery to the situation is all the website problems they had. They worked on this Obamacare website for 2 years, you guys, and then when it launched, nobody could get on it. It kept crashing. 75% of the people who have tried to sign up for Obamacare have not been able to sign up through the website. You're supposed to be able to go on in 20 minutes, you're done. People are spending hours trying to sign up for this thing, and they brought in a team of people to try to fix this thing, but who knows when it's going to be back up and running.
Well, I think that's why they have the hotline. I think we can call this hotline number.
Yeah, tell me about that, because you were saying that
signed up.
You were saying that you were having trouble on the website and that maybe talking to a live person is the way to go?
Yeah. They have a hotline set up to try and get the people through, so I figured maybe we could call it and try and sign up ourselves and see how it goes.
This will be very useful for people who are in the same boat as you, Kevin, that are trying to sign up and having no luck with the website. So let's dial up. Who would have ever thought that the government would screw something up, by the way?
That is hard to imagine.
Because usually they're lean and mean. That's a bad start.
Hello?
Hello, and thank you for calling the Affordable Health Care Act hotline. The easy and simple way to sign up for the Affordable Health Care Act. Open enrollment for Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act goes now from now until March 31st, 2014.
All right.
There are three ways to get insurance for 2014.
Okay.
Each method will have its advantages, and all plans sold after 2014 will be held to the same standards of quality. Using your Touchstone keypad, choose the way you would like to get insurance. 1, from the marketplace. 2, from a broker. 3, directly from the provider.
What do we want to do?
I don't know. I don't know. Those are, Lisa, you know, you're
I'd
the smart
broker,
one.
Broker, I think.
Broker? All right.
Because they can run you through everything.
Put it back in program.
There you go. Moj is over here pushing.
Did you hit anything yet?
I think we hit broker, but we're not sure.
Wait, why didn't he hit number 2 and then go back to the menu?
Oh, there's something.
Yes.
What did we hit?
What's happening? Broker. I think we're going with broker.
Yes.
By January 1st, 2014, everyone without health care coverage must obtain coverage, get an exemption, or pay a fee. The fee in 2014 is 1% of your annual income, with $95 per person, whichever is higher. The fee for an uninsured children is $24.50 each, with a maximum of $285 per family. Microspool your maximum income and then enter the individual mandate fraction, rounding up using no decimals.
What? What's microspool?
I didn't understand.
There was a school. I don't know what that means.
This is way too complicated. Well, I thought the phone was supposed to be easier.
Say it's 1,822.
The marketplace ensures that you can get quality discounts to help pay for premiums if your income is from $15,302 to $46,021 for an individual, and $31,155 to $93,700 for a family of four. You can also qualify for extra subsidies with help of out-of-pocket costs or for government programs such as health care, Medicaid, and Children's Health Insurance Plan. Enter the discount assignment variable, multiplying the number of covered people with your family members subtracting by their age.
I'm sorry, what?
The discount assignment.
No, I don't know what a discount assignment variable
we
is.
We heard you, but we don't understand.
What are you supposed to push now?
Kids' age?
Oh, it seems like you forgot that if you make less than 400% of the federal poverty level, you and your family may be eligible for reduced premium rates and lower out-of-pocket costs for the marketplace.
What's that amount?
So now enter your FPL score, remembering to use the qualifying coefficient formula, percentage plus income divided by the poverty algorithm.
What's the poverty algorithm?
How are we supposed
to know what this is?
Come on,
Kevin, enter your FPL score.
I'm going to put in my FPL score.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
What?
You're too dumb to get insured.
What?
We wouldn't be any worse off if you died.
That's a thing?
Oh, my God.
You get sick, so be it.
That's one of the answers?
Sorry, big head.
Here's my whole thing. If you only get 2 years in prison for killing Michael Jackson, there are a lot of celebrities I would choose to kill if I could get that deal. Right?
We waited into the deep end, didn't we?
I don't know how to answer that.
You know what I'm saying? It just seems like 2 years is not that much time for giving a guy, you know, all that propofol to take his own life. It's just Murray is out. That's my point, you guys. Dr. Conrad Murray is out after 2 years.
It does seem like the trial took as long as he spent in jail.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But he's out now, and he's a free man.
He's a free man. There's a lot going on in the great world of Dr. Conrad Murray. What's the first thing you do when you get out of prison? You go right to In-N-Out Burger. That's, for instance, exactly what Dr. Murray did. But we want to find out what his plans are, how he feels about being free. So we asked producer Dave, could you please line Dr. Murray up for us? And I believe we've got him on the phone right now. Hi, doctor.
Oh, the bum stickity bum stickity. Hi, the rat by Segudo Roto.
Refresh our memory, because we haven't spoken with you for a while. Where are you from, Dr. Murray?
I'm from Tigua. So I will move to Texas and come out of TC.
I heard Antigua.
Antigua, I think.
Yes.
That's the answer.
At some point.
So In-N-Out Burger, how'd that go?
In-N-Out Burger, show us that. 1, 2, 3, say, say, my, with the animal style. Ooh, delicious.
Delicious, okay. Now, what are you doing with your time now? You're free.
I don't know what I sing with my song. I saw it with the island. Oh, no, the baraka too soon with the conch fish. No, the baraka got the hung.
Right.
Blood, blood,
are the rumors...
Are the rumors that you want to have a singing career accurate?
Right. It's und behind the ratus. Slita. Me. Oh, my. Taratambako. Rondo. She bang by by rakende. Say with a steel drum by the pot. Ipapo. Sick and I'm a lime in the coconut.
What kind of music will you be singing? It won't be anything like Michael Jackson's music. That seems like it would be in poor taste for his
what
fans.
What kind of music do you think? With the way this bit's going, Bean, what type of music? I'm going to sing folk music. You dick. I'm going to sing some ballads with no accent.
All right, perhaps.
How about I sing calypso music? Does that make sense to you?
Calypso music actually does make the most sense,
you
Dr. Murray.
You spine freak.
Well, he can understand every word now.
I'm going to sing some Hebrew hymns.
Hey, you're the one who killed the guy. Don't yell at me,
that's
okay?
Right, and I'll kill another.
Please, God, answer our prayers.
I'll fall right into you.
So,
you take a little nap. They call me the Sandman. You go to sleep. You never wake up. Pop, 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 pop.
This is a terrible thing for you to be saying under the circumstances, Dr. Murray.
What kind of music will you be singing? Guy who does the whole bit with an accent from the islands. That's farcical and cartoonish. What kind of music do you think you'll be diving into?
All right. I'm going to give myself some
indie rock.
I'm going to give myself some propofol and just end this now, Doctor.
Are you a fan of the Japandroids? I like that band.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:37.
Tuesday morning right now. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Thor. That looks awesome.
The Dark World.
Yay!
I'll tell you something. I have always been a DC guy. Those are my superheroes of choice. I grew up reading Batman, Superman, Justice League, World's Finest, Flash, Green Lantern.
I don't remember you ever mentioning that before.
Yeah, big comic book fan when I was a kid. I don't know if I mentioned that or not.
Oh, really?
But when it comes to the Battle of the Cineplexes, boy, Marvel just knows how to do it right, don't
Kick
they?
Ass, yeah.
They just crush. Thor, The Dark World. We got Captain America, Winter Soldier coming up. We got another Avengers film in the works. But right now, it's all about Thor, The Dark World, on November the 5th at the AMC Century City 15. We're going to be having a special little K-Rock screening of the movie that doesn't come out until the 8th. So you will be amongst the first people to visit that dark world.
That's a lot of geek cred to be able to walk around for several days having seen the movie.
You just own your Dungeons and Dragons party when you show up with that kind of swag.
That's good, because I really need some help in that area.
Yeah, sure. You know, look, what are you, a fourth level orc? What are you now?
I have no answer to that. So.
Those improv classes are paying off. Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Tom Hiddleston returns as Loki, and many more. But I'm not going to give it just to anybody. I'm just going to give these to anybody.
Well,
some yahoo on the streets go, oh, I'm going to go see that movie with the guy with the blonde hair and the hammer. No.
Has to be a fan.
Has to be a fan.
That's the way you roll.
I'm going to give you a little trivia question. The first five people through with the correct answer will get tickets to go see that K-Rock screening. Thor, of course, as a fictional character, the superhero first appeared in comic books in Journey into Mystery number 83. That classic issue from August of 1962 is when Thor first appeared. As so many other Marvel characters were, Thor was created by Stan Lee. The man who wrote that first comic book script for Thor was Larry Lieber. Stan worked with him quite often. Just tell me who drew Thor for the first time. Who was his penciler, as they say in the biz?
Penciler.
Penciler. Who drew Thor for the very first time back in 1962?
Demi Lovato.
No, it wasn't.
Good guess, though.
1962. Tell me who first drew Thor. First five people through at 1-800-520-1067. Score themselves a pair of ticks to Thor the Dark World.
Cal Worthington and his dog Spot.
Nope. Spot was supposed to be the Panther that week, but he called in sick. Tragic news. I continue to report on this breaking story. It was just announced today. October 29th will be remembered forever as the day the music died.
Wow.
The Jonas Brothers have officially disbanded as a musical trio.
You wake up this morning, you have no idea this
right.
is going to hit
you.
Right,
you think it's just another day. Side. Just another day, then boom. Joe Bros call it quits. Now what? Now what do you do? Do you hug your kids?
Do you go to work? Do you call in sick? Do you just stay home?
I go right to the bottle.
You just go to CNN and watch the updates? That's your answer for everything. Nick Jonas, 25-year-old guy who apparently is in this band called the Jonas Brothers, said it's over for now. Don't do that. Don't give false hope to the bronuts.
Is that what they're called?
I have no idea, but I think they should be if they're not. I like
oh,
it.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
It just came to me. The Bronuts. Come on, like that'd it. Be a pretty good name for a fan base, wouldn't it?
For a now defunct like band?
That's right. Yeah, it's all over. It's hard to say forever, says Nick Jonas, 21, the drummer of the band, but we're closing a chapter, for sure.
You She's know, a good drummer, too.
We all are, Nick Jonas. We are all closing a chapter.
Ralph,
What?
You're in a delicate situation because you're a father. How do you handle this with the children? What's your advice to other parents who may be listening who have to answer those questions
Look,
tonight at dinner?
Tell them the truth. I mean, a lot of parents will try to avoid this, try to skirt around the issue, maybe come up with some euphemisms. Oh, the Jonas Brothers have gone to a nice farm where they're just going to spend their time playing in the fields with the other boy bands.
Well, they're,
no.
They're not dead.
No. Tell them the truth. That the Joe Bros have disbanded, and we all need to adjust and to adapt and move forward, and just let them know you love them, you hold your kids, you hug them, you tell them you love them, and there's still One Direction, you know.
And then let them know.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Oh, come on!
They got to learn sooner or later, Ralph.
Britney Spears is a fun little gal, isn't she? she had some fun with BBC Radio 1. She's starring in a new video that you can find on YouTube right now called It's Britney, Witch.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
For Halloween.
Yeah.
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 She puts
I like
on,
it.
She puts on a really bad English accent and recites Vincent Price's rap from Thriller.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, it's awesome. She's the best. She's charming. She's a charming Southern belle with oodles of talent. You know how I know? Because there's another video online right now. For some reason, it was posted, I think, back in 2009. But just the past couple of weeks, it's gotten a lot of play and attention from the press. It is Britney. I think maybe because everyone's complaining that in her new residency in Vegas at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino, she's going to be lip-syncing, reportedly, to her many hits while performing for a Vegas audience.
But that can't be a surprise to anyone. That's
she
her
does
whole
it all
career.
The time. Right. This is a concert from way back in the day, once again in Las Vegas, and she is lip-syncing as she pretends to sing and dance to her many hits. But somebody had the feed to her actual microphone recorded. So they get to isolate the vocals of what she does on stage while she is performing. I guess that mic needs to be live because she does speak to the audience.
Yeah, she'll talk in between songs. They turn it on, but they also play her through.
Right, so they pot stickers. That way down. They pull the volume of that way down, and then they blast the singing backing tracks and the music and everything else while she's performing. Well, this is the isolated audio from Ms. Spears. And for those who complained that she would be lip-syncing in Las Vegas for this new show, count your lucky stars that such a thing is possible, or else this is what you would get on stage.
Oops, I did it again to your heart, got lost in this game of being fair. Oops, do you think that I'm sent from above?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
That
oh
happened.
My God.
Wow. That's a thing that is real.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
So, like I said, just thank your lucky stars that she can lip sync.
Just be happy and that she's gonna.
And she's back. Right, back in shape again. I think, really, and this is going to be perhaps shocking, of all of the pop divas, Britney may be the least talented in the singing department. Your Katy Perry, she can sing.
She can.
Miley, for whatever you want to say
she
about
can.
Her insanity, she can sing.
Do you think it's
Christina, of course,
yeah.
famously
yeah,
can
know.
Sing.
She
Mariah
can.
Carey can sing. Yeah. All these other broads who get out and do the same kind of thing that she does seem to have a modicum of vocal talent, but Britney is
But
lacking.
You know, if she's not working out, you know how Madonna works out so hard so she can sing live and still be really athletic?
Right.
If she's moving a lot in her show and she's not bothering to get in shape for that, that yeah. could explain
she
some of it.
She was way out of breath in that clip.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she was also way out of tune.
Yes.
True.
There was that
clip.
As well.
So I would think if you're going to hit occasional note, maybe it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, the key that the song is in.
Don't be ridiculous.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm too demanding. Do we have time for Duck the Halls?
Sure.
Do we have any time rule? It's Christmas time almost. It's almost
very
Christmas
close.
Time.
Is it sweater weather?
Because, you know, it's Halloween this weekend.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Thursday.
Thursday
this week. And then, you know, in a rapid succession, boom, you got my birthday, big holiday.
That is the biggest.
You've got Thanksgiving. You've got then your Christmas time. And so this week, a lot of the Christmas albums are dropping. Kelly Clarkson's got a new Christmas album out called Wrapped in Red. Bean's already got that.
Sure.
What he doesn't have, however, is the Robertson Family Christmas album. The Robertsons, of course, the stars of Duck Dynasty. Their new album, Duck the Halls, is now in stores. Duck the Halls!
Yep. See, because the name of the show is Duck Dynasty.
Here are a couple tracks from Duck the Halls, starting with Ragin' Cajun Redneck Christmas.
It's a Ragin' Cajun Redneck Christmas, dancing Santa out in the yard.
That's not them, though, is it?
I
that
don't
sounds
believe
too good.
So. The good thing about country music is that Christmas songs sound exactly the goddamn same as every other country song.
Oh, yeah.
Change the lyrics to that song. You had no idea it's a Christmas song.
That's true.
It's Easter time and the bunny's in the stew. You can just change the lyrics. It can be about any holiday.
You put the bunny in the stew?
You do it if you're one of the Duck Dynasty family. The Night Before Christmas comes to you from the Robertsons?
Now, the night before Christmas, I was sitting in my house, a three-hour nap, when all of a sudden I heard a big crash. I figured it was some coon digging in the trash. I went to the window and slipped on my shoes, because I don't like critters snooping around in my refuge.
Nice rhyme.
And it's refuse, by the way, not refuge.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it is his refuge. How do you know?
Maybe the trash can is his refuge. And before the calls and letters come in, a raccoon is what he was referring to there, of course.
Of course.
And Duck the Halls, the title track.
Duck the Halls with cows of holly. Tis the season to be jolly.
Yeah,
USA!
That's
USA!
That's your
that's a thing
that goes right up there with the barking dogs doing jingle bells. I think when it comes to quality Christmas music,
yeah.
Hey. We have a winner to my trivia question. I believe RJ was the first guy through with the right answer. RJ,
hey, how we going?
What legendary artist was the first person to draw Thor way back there in 1962?
Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby, of course, the legend.
Of course, everyone knows Jack Kirby.
The King. They call him the King, Kevin. You
know obviously.
Because he's the King.
He's the King.
A comic book artist. That's right. Hold on, RJ. We're going to give you your tickets. Congratulations also to Matthew and German and Arnold and Andre. You guys are all going to see Thor the Dark World before anybody else. Today's celebrity birthday is Ben Foster's 33. Chris Baio of Vampire Weekend's 29. Any relation to Scott? Do we know?
From the same Baio no I don't believe so, no. Although one of those Vampire Weekend guys is related to...
be better if you had a name.
It sure would. Is related to what's his face from Boardwalk Empire. He's related to that guy. They're cousins.
The lead,
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi. One of the Steve Buscemi's cousins is in Vampire Weekend.
How does that relate?
That was worth it.
Because we're talking about people who are related to Vampire Weekend.
I'm just looking for a connection.
Open up a blog.
Look, I don't like being either, but he was right in this particular case. So why don't you back off a little bit? Winona Ryder is 42 years old today. Dan Castellaneta is 56. And Richard Dreyfuss, legendary actor. So many great films. Close Encounters, Jaws, American Graffiti. Boy, what a career. 66 years old today. I remember if it was as if it was yesterday when Beer Mug had a conversation with him.
Back to Coma. Did you watch the original film, and did you take anything away, or did you just kind of...
The original film when it came out, but that's 30 years ago.
And so you just kind of went into this project, this four-hour miniseries, kind of with your own take, or
yeah.
And do you play the doctor?
I play the creator of the institute.
Oh,
by the way,
very excited.
Not half as excited as I am.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The great Richard Dreyfuss tolerating Beer Mug.
Barely.
By the way, he's sort of dickish.
To
those questions,
I agree that he's sort of dickish.
To those questions,
he's sort of
what response are you supposed to have to that guy after, first of all, this is the end of the interview, right?
Yes.
You've gone through seventh grade with Beer Mug.
Sort of dickish.
You've gone through What was the other thing he did? The
talking music about teacher, all,
the guy at work who also saw the movie back in the day, and is it the same? And he doesn't know
what his friend said about him being there to interview him.
And then
a lot of people be gracious.
Do you play the doctor? He doesn't know what role he's playing. He's got nothing.
Is it just me, or is this guy a little bit of a dick?
A little bit of a dick.
I think Richard Dreyfuss is a little dickish. Expect a little better quality interview at his level of the game.
Well, I think Richard Dreyfuss was just like so many of us, beaten down by their experience with Beer Mug to the point where you just you have a raw nerve at that point. You're just so exhausted and you're physically sick at that point, having dealt with Beer Mug, that you cannot, you can no longer couch it with any sort of thinned veneer of civility.
I enjoyed so much revisiting that interview today, though.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have John DiMaggio on talking about a movie called I Know That Voice.
Oh,
voiceover
can't
actors.
Wait to see this. All the guys who do all the classic voices in animation in one documentary.
We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
And we have Chris Cluey, who has written a book titled Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies on Myths, Morons, Free Speech, Football, and Assorted Absurdities.
Yeah.
That's the name of the book. That's
covering a lot of ground.
That sounds like a Beer Mug interview question.
He was in the NFL, and it's a lot about that. So we'll talk to him tomorrow morning as well. And we have your tickets for Thor, The Dark World, tomorrow.